Elder Lawyer,
Blog
it sounds
Talk
perfect.
Radio.
We're live on Blog Talk too, Elder Lawyer. Before you go in, because I know you have a perspective, I'm going to answer one thing real quick. Go to Isaiah 49 and 6.
Yes, sir.
Because there was an ad hominem attack in which they claimed that, how do we bring black men back to Christ? First of all, my issue with the Christian church is that they refuse to teach salvation. The Christian church, the black Christian church, refuses to teach salvation according to the Bible. And that's my issue. It's all about salvation. It's all about Christ and his mission for salvation. So they would need to first restructure by tearing their doctrine down and starting from the beginning. Christ. And that's my only issue. We all may disagree, you know, on different things. We may disagree on attire. We may disagree on, you know, doctrinal differences. All right? But one thing all those who believe in this Bible and Christ cannot disagree on. None of us can disagree on Christ. That's the ties that bond our Savior. And my problem and why the Holy Spirit have left the Christian church is because they had an opportunity. They had an opportunity to move with the Holy Spirit, but decided to stay comfortable. Okay? Straight out, under the same spirit of the 60s. Okay? They were able to ride the wave with Martin Luther King and thought that that would ride them all the way to the kingdom. No. Times have changed. The Holy Spirit moved. Not to say it wasn't once there, but it's gone now. Why? Because the Christian church refuses to teach salvation. That's why the black men have left the church. They don't see no salvation in it. What is salvation according to the Bible, Elder Lawyer? Let's read Isaiah 49 and 6, just two scriptures, and I'm going to just parlay it to you. Isaiah 49 and 6 and John 4 and 22.
Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said,
your mic is still doing something. I don't know what's going on. It's your mic. Do me a favor. Okay. Just go directly through the mic from your computer. That's fine. Use that one.
Okay. All right. Let me switch it up real quick.
Yes.
Let me see here.
Yeah. 1 second, folks. It just switches to that one, Elder Lawyer. It should be fine.
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah. That's way better. Go ahead. Let's read Isaiah 49 and 6. The Christian church refused to teach salvation. Let me break down in case, I know these pastors look at our videos, and I know they may run into this, okay? And yes, when something like this comes out, you know, they send this stuff directly. It comes by my desk, and I have to talk about it because why? Not to denigrate or disrespect these elders. This is an opportunity for them to actually hear outside of their echo chamber. This is why we're responding to them. Because if they're really interested in winning the black man back, Judah back to your churches, you have to listen from the outside of your chamber. We're answering you. And we're going to have people organically tonight answer you so that you'll hear their reason for no longer participating in the black church. It's not that they didn't respect a lot of what the church has done. Okay? It's not that they hate the, not, it's not that we hate the black church. But there's a stiff neck, the Bible tell you it's stiff neck, and there's a stubbornness going on that hasn't been addressed. Elder Lawyer, let's read salvation. That's fine. Let's give the pastors real quick some insight to why young men are leaving, starting with the fact that they need to understand and recalibrate salvation. Let's read 49 and 6. Let's read it.
Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel.
Read that again.
And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel.
To be a servant of God, you must raise up Jacob and preserve Israel. That's the Bible doing what? Highlighting the position of a pastor. It's a light thing that you'll be his servant to what? Read it again.
To raise up the tribes of Jacob.
To raise up the tribes of Jacob. Read.
And to restore the preserved of Israel.
Now, how can you preserve the restored of Israel if you're not teaching who are the Israelites? Okay? So you're not even a servant. A servant is to do what? To raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore Israel. So that's the key emphasis. That's the bait that's being used to lure black men out of the churches. An identity. No longer are they falling for the theological racist theology that blacks belong to the cursed seed of Ham. And you all are not addressing that publicly. That it's a racist theology where you have to teach that our people are Gentiles when it's clear that our people are suffering the curses of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. That we're serving in a foreign land like Deuteronomy 28 and 64 said we will. In a land our forefathers knew not. But you refuse to give salvation, which is an identity. Salvation is synonymous with identifying a people. How do we know that? Elder Lawyer, go to Matthew 10, 5 and 6. Let's see Christ's mission statement.
Saying Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5.
Yes.
12, Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Go rather to who?
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Exactly, because when Christ came on the scene, he began to do what? To be a servant, to bring back the tribes of Israel and the preserve of Jacob like the Bible prophesied he would. So he taught the disciples the same mission. See? That's why young black men are leaving, because there's no identity. They don't know who they are in the churches. You're lying, and you're peddling the lies that have been taught to you through the theologian seminary colleges, that our people are Gentiles, or no one really knows, or the more dismissive of all of the bogus excuses of why you're not identifying. It doesn't matter. It's nothing like dismissing a person, dismissing people by saying what they've learned. And everything they have studied doesn't matter to you. Okay? Doesn't matter. That's wrong. But when they hear that Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, is Elder Lawyer, when they hear that, they automatically think what? Exclusivity. That you are excluding others. They're being blind. They're being blinded by what? Their feelings. Facts over feelings. So they'll change the whole theology because they can't see other people. Oh, there he go. There he is. I knew you were going to pop in. Okay, let me straighten this out. They cannot see their theology and the information that made hold on. Let me straighten this out for Elder. Yeah, there it is. Their theology doesn't fit when they find the true mission statement through Christ, because automatically they look at that scripture, he's been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and believe that based on Christ's words, others are being excluded. But that's not the case at all. You can't get the world together first. You can't get the world together first, folks. You can't. You must focus on the people first. The people of the book gets the world together and become a light to the Gentiles. So they're working backwards. So it's not excluding, it's prioritizing according to the word. That's why he didn't pick or choose Paul first to go to the Gentiles. Peter was established under the circumcision to carry out that mission statement of Isaiah the 49th chapter. To what? That's right. To bring back the tribes of Jacob and the preserve of Israel. So the priority was to go to the Israelites first, and then after the Israelites got it together, began to teach the Gentiles the true path to Christ's kingdom. See? That's the true mission statement. You just can't be teaching some ambiguous, all people equal without priority. Okay? Other races of people don't operate like that. They don't operate like that. They don't deal in disorder. Even white people, they have a pecking order. They got Jewish people representing Judaism. They got Catholicism. They have a pecking order, a priority, and say, well, according to our theology, these are the Jews. See? They have a priority. And guess what? They don't care about no one's feelings when it comes to identity. They take pride in understanding who they are. And they value the traditions that was left down to them from their forefathers. Only our people are comfortable in darkness. Christ was teaching priority. Elder Lloyd. Last but not least, salvation, John 4:22.
Yes, sir. St. John 4 and verse number 22.
Come on.
Ye worship, ye know not what.
You worship.
We know what we worship.
We know what we worship, read.
For salvation is of the Jews.
For salvation is of the Jews. Now, if salvation is of the Jews, the priority was to get the Israelites together first. And then after you get the true people together under the true doctrine that was left through Christ, then you go and give opportunity to the Gentiles. That's priority. So I'm just trying to show you, pastors, why black men are leaving the churches, because they see what? They see themselves in the Bible according to priority. And it's not about excluding any other race. But how can we try to get every other race together when our race is in tatters? When the Israelites are, we're the ones with separated families. Other nations coming in, the liberal demon, Satan, is coming in our neighborhoods, pulling us apart with all these different non-profit types of businesses and non-profit types of things pandering to what? Our poverty. So it's the liberals and the Satanists coming in our community, using our poverty and cashing in on it, because we don't know where Israelites. So again, my issue is pastors refuse to teach salvation according to the Bible. All right, Elder Lloyd, I'm going to let you in and then let the bar go ahead and flow.
Yes, sir. Well, in listening to the audio that was played, I listed the main points of each of the speakers.
Hey, Elder Lloyd.
Number one.
is your internet? Because your internet, it seems like you are breaking up sometimes. So it's not just your audio, your internet is breaking too.
The internet here is fine. I'm not sure what the issue is.
Okay. Stay close like you are, if you don't mind.
Okay.
You're perfect just like that. Go on.
Yes, sir. So in listening to each speaker, I believe there were seven different points that were given from each of the speakers that I have listed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give the list of the different issues that they provided, that they stated were issues within the Christian church, which is why the reason the Christian church is no longer a force and can no longer hold and retain the young men, and that the same young men who at one point in history may have flocked to the Christian church are no longer in the Christian church and are instead flocking to organizations such as Hebrew Israelites, and I believe they mentioned other organizations as well.
Yeah.
So these are the points that they mentioned. They mentioned, number one, stagnation. Okay, we're stagnant. Number two, we lack teaching. Number three, we lack men. Number four, abuse by people in authority / not using the skills or the gifts the young people have to offer. Number five, using the example of the Nation of Islam, one of the speakers mentioned that you can see the example manifested of what the Nation of Islam teaches. There's certain things that are taught within the Nation of Islam that are key to the building and shaping of the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do they teach it, they also, someone says, volume is too high. One second. So not only do they teach it, they also manifest it through their actions. You can see actual examples of what the Nation of Islam teaches through either businesses or what have you, all right? Rebuilding men, getting men off of drugs, so on and so forth, instilling pride in Black men. These are all things you see manifested through the Nation of Islam. The other thing that was mentioned, there's two more things, is that the men in the church are too emotional. And last but not least, one of the main things that were mentioned was the fact that real issues are not being addressed in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And to all of those points, which were, I think, very good points, the issue was the fact that none of those points actually answer the question. All of those points are simply byproducts, and I'm going to explain what I mean.
Mm.
The church, let me put it this way. The two questions that need to be asked are how and why. And this is what I mean, okay? And this is what I mean by byproducts as well.
Okay.
When you go into the Bible, okay, Christ left a foundation to the church. Matthew 7:24 says that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. So we know that Christ left a foundation
mm-hmm.
upon which all churches that are established in his name are to be built upon. If they build upon that foundation, they shall be successful. They shall not fall through times of trial and tribulation. Also, on the flip side, on the contrary, if churches do not build upon the foundation, those that claim to be established in his name, if they don't build upon his foundation, then it states, just paraphrasing, that they will fall when the storms come.
Mm.
Well, obviously, we are currently in a storm. The churches are being tried, and they have been being tried for a long time. When you go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, Christ, just paraphrasing, he states that upon the rock, that rock being Peter, will his church be built. So again, any church that claims to be established in the name of Christ must be established in Christ upon the foundation that was built or established in Peter. You must follow his example. So the question is, if Christ is the foundation, if Peter represents the rock or the foundation upon which we are to build our churches in the name of Christ, why and how are we facing or dealing with the issues such as stagnation? When the church was left in the hands of Peter, there was no stagnation. When you go to the book of Acts, the second chapter, it tells you that what? The church was praising God and having favor, just paraphrasing for the sake of time. It says they were having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's the same scripture where it mentions that 3,000 souls were baptized. So the church of Christ was not dealing with stagnation. So if you're dealing with stagnation and you're claiming to be a church built in the name of Christ, the question is why and how. Christ did not give you a stagnant church. So you did something to make the church stagnant. That's a byproduct. That's not a thing that we give as the reason why. No, that's just a byproduct of something you did in order to cause the church of Christ to become stagnant. They mentioned the lack of men. How did the church lack men? What did you do to cause the church to lack men when the church of Christ called men to be leaders of their families, leaders of their households, leaders of the flock? The scripture says that the pasture of my flock are men, or the flock of my pasture are men. So men were called into the ministry of Christ. What did you do to chase the men away? That's the question. The lack of men is not the problem. The lack of men is a byproduct of something you did. Last point. I have plenty more points, but I'm going to leave it here for the sake of time.
No. Go through all your points, Lloyd. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The guy mentioned something concerning a living example, and he referenced the Nation of Islam, which we can all agree that the Nation of Islam and their history, they are a one of the black organizations from our community that do actually manifest what it is they believe.
Yes.
They believe in being self-sufficient. You, at some point, I'm not sure if it still exists, but at some point, the Nation of Islam had stores, grocery stores you can actually go into, which if you were a Muslim trying to live according to the dietary program that was laid forth by the Nation of Islam, you could do so because there were grocery stores that they actually built for their members. Mm-hmm. They had the newspaper and all of these different things that they did alongside of the community work. But here's the problem. The Nation of Islam is one of the many black organizations that was influenced, believe it or not, by the work of Marcus Garvey.
Yeah.
Marcus Garvey identified as what? A Christian.
Yep.
So how could it be that the Nation of Islam, a Muslim organization, becomes the image of manifesting what it is you believe in when their influence came from a
Christian
organization?
Yep.
It is Christ that stated, let your light shine before men. It's Christ that says, be hearers of the word, or be doers of the word and not hearers. That's a Christian or a biblical principle. So how is it that the Christian church, which spawned a Marcus Garvey, how could the Christian church, which teaches, according to the Bible, or at least the church that Christ left, taught to be doers of the word and not hearers, how could their legacy be left up to Muslims? Or how could their legacy be overshadowed by the Nation of Islam, who is now the example of being doers of what it is you believe? It should be Christians at the forefront of being doers and not hearers, letting their light shine before men. And last but not least, they said that the church is too touchy-touchy, filly-filly, too emotional, in other words. Well, the question is, how did the church become too emotional? With Christ, the church that Christ left said what? He said that the effeminate shall not make it into the kingdom of heaven.
Ooh.
So the church that Christ left was not an effeminate church. Christ said what? Sell your cloak and get a sword. And yes, the disciples and the brethren, the sisters, they showed love and affection one to another. But Christ said that the greatest gift or the greatest love that any friend could ever show was to lay down his life for his friend. That takes great courage. That takes great manliness.
Mm-hmm.
This is the example and the expectation that Christ left for his followers.
Mm.
So if these were manly men following an austere man such as Christ, how could the church now be the epitome of emotionalism? How could the church now, how could Christ leave a church which says the effeminate shall not make it, and now you're complaining in the Church of Christ that you're too effeminate? What did you do to cause Christ's church to become effeminate and too emotional? So I understand the points that we're making. They were some pretty good points, but those points were simply byproducts. The question is not, why are they going to the Israelites? The question is, what did we do to chase them away so that they can go to other groups such as the Israelites?
Whoa.
And go to other groups such as the Nation of Islam, so on and so forth. And with that, I yield.
Hold on, before you yield, man, hold up, Elder Lawyer. I don't do this too many times, but hand clap. What did they do to push us away is the question. The reality is, I'm going to tell you right out. I'm going to tell you right out. When you drop Elder Lawyer and an effeminate shall not make it into the kingdom of heaven. See, one thing about the law. There's no political correctness, elders. There is no, well, let me compromise the law to spare feelings, facts over feelings. Because one thing about sin, once it gains ground, it only looks to gain more ground. It's not backing out. So when they begin this, you cannot judge anyone, live and let live. And they started doing what? Allowing deaconesses, women in positions that only men held during the time of Christ's ministry. So once someone get a stronghold into power, no one looks to release power. So there's no way they're going to take that church and go back and say, well, no, we read the scriptures. I don't know what that pastor doing, but they can't be any women in men positions. They went from, and see, this is how it happened. Women started operating in male roles, and it left no position for the nurturer. Everyone wants to be the man, the power position. And then what happened? Once they was in a deacon seat, man, the pastor seat was an eventual destination for them. They was now in an eyesight and a few chairs over from the top position. And one thing, sin doesn't relinquish power. So the woman went from a deacon to pastor. And you know who was looking in the wings, elders? Everyone else. Because if anyone can operate in a position that Christ didn't give them, being a woman, what's to stop a gay man from looking at the position and saying, well, at least I'm a man. So gay people weren't slowing the progression of this up. They was looking at it and waiting to jump on it to say, well, okay, after what I've witnessed in this church since Neha, none of you people can judge me. None of you can judge me. I sat back, I was raised in this church, and I seen the molestation, I seen the thievery, I seen the prosperity movement, and I even seen men move over so that women can take their positions. Okay?
Right.
And I dare any of y'all say anything, because they were sitting back taking copious notes the whole time and saying, I dare one of you to say something against my lifestyle. Especially when you knew exactly how I got here in this church. I didn't come in this church this way. I was trusted to grown adults. I dare one of you to try to judge me taking your position, because I can protect children better than you can. So once the cat was out of the bag, elders, there was no putting it back because sin does not relinquish power. So even if they wanted to try to put this thing back together to make it appealing for black men, they cannot do it without tearing it, without totally dismantling what's left.
Right.
They would have to dismantle
right.
everything that's left now. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to patch a big hole on the side of the Titanic and still say, well, okay, and then have other people just trying to keep it up like this and paddling. Instead of saying, you know what? We got to let this whole thing go down and build from the beginning. Because sin will not relinquish power. The people in position, they're in high positions, high paid positions. And they're not relinquishing none of that. It would take a whole generation of tearing this down and building it back for the black church to receive the respect and prestige it once had. But guess what? That's why we see the echo chambers. Because I think in their hearts of hearts, elders, they know it. They know it because they're pointing out the issues, elders. But they know what it would take. It would take a drag out fight throughout all of their churches to put it in order. They have to go and say, well, listen, we have to go into the moral law concerning sexuality. To bring back marriage, we got to show what sin is and what sexual behaviors are outside the laws of God. They would have to start there. Any position that Christ set up, women, you can back the men, but you must leave all positions, including board of directors until we first get the men in position, and later we'll bring you in. And then it has to be, this is what marriage is. And these are the things that will lead to one no longer being a part of this work and a part of the body if they disrespect what? The union of marriage. They would have to put it all back in place. Okay? And in order to, do we have enough time for that? But then you have to stay on top of that. We're teaching the truth. The blacks in America and throughout the diaspora, throughout the four corners of the earth, are from the lost tribes of Israel. Once they got the structure together, then they have a foundation to say, we must baptize Jew and Gentile alike in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're going to bring Jake back to the Almighty. You are a child of God, not just through the Spirit. You are the direct descendants of Jacob. And then you're going to have to denounce and just put away every high holy day and no longer do another Sunday service. And remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You think they'll do it? Hey, hold up. Let me give you Elder Gabbar. Elder Gabbar, you think they'll do it?
Well, Elder, I don't think so. I think that's I don't know. That's a good question. Elder Loya brought out so many information. I think he covered a lot of things I wanted to discuss, but I think one thing that we need to have a conversation, and maybe Elder, I don't know, maybe we have to have real conversation.
Well, let me set this up. There, you're good now. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Maybe we could invite these pastors into the show. I don't know. Maybe we could, you know, start setting up some behind the scenes show producers to, you know, call these people and have a real conversation, not as a aha moment,
yeah,
but more a real conversation about, okay, all right. Like you're saying certain things, like...
Hold on, let me straighten you out. Come on.
Sure, no problem. Let me know when you're ready.
Hold on.
I'll turn mine off so you can have more space there.
No, that's good. You're good. You're good now. It's good now. All right, Elder Gabbar. Now what you saying?
So, for instance, I think, like, there's certain things that he said, that one of the pastors said that stuck with me that I think needs to be addressed. Like, he asked the question, what is the attraction about young men in the Israelite community? And he mentioned, well, you know, we don't know what is the attraction, but we do know they're wrong in doctrine. So if you do not know what is attracting the young people to the Israelite community, you don't know what's the reason why, but you already established that the reason why they are attracted to the Israelite community cannot be because they're happening to be right about doctrinal belief.
Right.
And that's the reason why they are attracted to them versus us. That is not the plethora of different reasoning why that could be. If you don't know the reason why, you have to throw everything in the kitchen sink. You have to throw everything and see what sticks if you don't know what's the reason. And more importantly, I would encourage these pastors to ask questions why these young people are not coming. And they could tell you, so then you could, and you mentioned this earlier, that one thing that European companies do, and also Asian, the government does this, they're big on what doesn't work, what works, throwing out what doesn't, and using what you know, efficiency. They don't get caught up with morals, or they don't get caught up with, I won't say moral, that's probably, you know, what, they don't get caught up with
ego. Keep going, Elvis.
Right. They don't get caught up with ego. They just caught up with what works. Therefore, to use that as a segue, maybe these pastors have to start looking at what the Israelite community is doing right that we're doing wrong, so we can start implementing these things. And see, I'm almost like a catch-22, because part of the things that leads, okay, you and I, Elder, we came back from an Israelite community, so we could talk from reference, from history, right? But, and we do know that there are certain things that they are wrong about the Israelite community in regards of outside of us, in regards of they not accepting, you know, other Gentiles or Gentiles in general. They don't believe that water baptism is a necessary thing, right? So there's clearly things that they are wrong about, right? And then look at us.
I'm with you, Elder Gabar Mack.
Yeah. So let's look at the Gathering Christ Church, for instance.
Yeah.
Right? We are now approaching, what, our 12th year, right?
Yeah, I think, 2009 was really the beginning of the church, 2009.
The beginning.
So you're looking at what? Yeah, 12 years.
12 years. So in the period of 12 years, just having a doctrine that you have to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have to get water baptized to enter into the new covenant.
Yeah.
The laws are not done away with.
Yeah.
But we're living under grace.
Yeah.
And the 12 tribes of Israel are the people scattered in the four corners of the earth that dealt with slavery, prejudice, and they are the people of the barrel.
Okay, yes.
God's society, right?
Yeah.
I'm going through these four principles.
Yeah,
that's three,
yeah,
four,
and
others.
Yeah, yep. But also salvation is extended to not just the Israelites, but the Gentiles.
Right, extend to everybody, right? So everybody comes
from
these basic situation. And let me just throw in, the man is the head of the church and also head of the household, right? And maybe we could throw in that we deal with accountability, right? I think that's something that the 7 points, right?
Yeah.
And all those 7 points, every single Christian will agree that you can find these scriptures and these principles in the Bible. You can find that the laws are in the Bible. You can find Christ. You can find water baptism. You can find salvation. You can find the 12 tribe of Israel. You can find that they aligned in regards to prophecy exactly and exact what is happening in the African-American, Latino, Native American experience today.
Yeah.
So is you just us just applying those basic principles with the GOCC, you know, our issue that we have, and clearly we're not a perfect church, but with those issues, we have able to, in the last, you know, 12 years or so, in a short period of time, outgrown many of these Christian churches that have been around for years, and even outgrown many Israelite churches that have been out for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ain't perfect.
That's right.
But we're in a scenario that the growth, and we're growing more than we can handle, right?
Yeah.
We're all in perfectly. So they should look at the Gathering of Christ Church as a study, as an assessment. So okay, what are they doing right that we're not doing?
Yeah.
And it's almost as if sometimes I'm afraid, Elder, thinking selfishly, that I don't want to give people the secrets. You know, I don't want to give the formula. It's like it's right there, but they're not doing it. So it's like it's a recipe about for our success, right? But I got to preach the gospel no matter what. So it's almost like a double whammy. And I'm going to hear one more, and I'm going to give back the floor to you, Elder.
Okay.
The brother mentioned about that it is okay to be loved by another man. Right, and you know, true love, and he gave example, and all that is valid argument.
It's
I'm not
true.
Arguing that.
Yeah,
it's true. But what brother needs to understand that men express love different than women express love, and I think what's happening is that they're trying to identify love or the expression of love as one way.
The emotion. They're dealing with the emotional, feminine love.
Exactly.
But not the love according to action. There's a certain love,
right?
That's candid,
right?
Let me tell you, there's tough love.
Exactly.
Right. But
exactly.
Go on. I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah, and so the issue that needs to be addressed is that men express love differently from women. And I think what's happening is that the human race has forgotten there are two genders in the earth. There are men and women. So when you are addressing something and how something should be addressed properly, it always has to be given from a male perspective. This is what a man should do, and this is what a woman should do. So I think we have to, you know, I think they're trying to mix those two genders as we're the same. And when love and hugging and like he was talking about, a man should be able to hug somebody and not feeling, feminine. But the problem is men don't hug to show love all the time.
Yeah.
Some men, we take a bullet for you. Men, we'll lend you some money. Men, we'll pat you in the back with good work. Men, we show love differently. We don't show love with you staying crying. We cry with you. We're not going to cry with you. That's not how we show love.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you. Yeah, we're going to step it up. Come on, man up. That's how we show love. It's a different type of way. So go ahead, Elder.
Yeah, but
I got one point, and I deal with that.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go on. But,
okay.
But what I'm saying is they don't understand that. And I can understand. Women can relate more so with it, and I can understand that, right? But all in all, there's more ways of showing love like you have expressed.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think they realize the outside optics, where because there's no balance and strength, how weak it appears to men. When all you have is the crying. All you have is the emotion. Now, I can take that from a woman. I can understand that. But there's no balance.
Yeah.
Okay? We're going to need the strategic thinkers who will think outside their feelings and not just everyone just holding their hands, crying and all that. We need we need people with critical structure skills, builders,
mm-hmm.
thinkers,
yeah.
Fighters. So I can look at, check out the Catholic Church. That's one example,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, I'm not going to compare the Catholic Church, but there's no monolith. You can't look at the Catholic Church and say they're one thing,
mm-hmm.
right? You'll have a mafioso guy come in there. He's trying to clean up his life, and he'll confess and all that. And guess what? He'll break down in confession and all those things. But when he come out of that confession box, he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
He don't go into the Catholic Church and lose his masculinity. You understand? Like there's an archetype, there's a prototype, which is a better word, of what a black man in the Christian church look like, and it appears weak, and that's the problem. And this is why men who look for strength, who look for what? Masculine mentors are cleaving to other places, because there's only one type of man they can find in the Christian church. He's a guy that's strictly on the choir. When I know people that's in our churches in the choir, you better not cross the line.
Mm-hmm.
See, you understand?
There's a difference.
Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with being a singer, but men outside the Christian church, outside the black Christian church, are able to be men and not be men and not be ashamed of it and not feel that something is wrong because we're exercising the spirit of masculinity outward without being shamed, without being ashamed of it, without feeling like, okay, should I tone this down or not? That's the example I can give. And this is why the black church have lost a black man and will never get them back. That's one of the many reasons, right? Because at one time, we used to be able to look at the Christian church and see masculinity. There was a pastor and there was a mother of the church who was backing that pastor. There was Martin Luther King, and then you had the feminine dainty Coretta Scott King. Mm-hmm. You see no men up in those suits? Every woman looked like a woman that just reveled in the spirit of backing strong black men.
Mm-hmm.
These women didn't feel like they had to challenge those men. These women back then didn't feel like, well, he's taking all my shine.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, they celebrated their femininity. And I think that's what they hated about the black church in the 60s more so than anything. How in mm-hmm. check our women were and how they were presented, how in order they were, which is a better word,
mm-hmm.
with a strong black man. They had to whittle away at that. And see, and like I said it early, Elvis, what happened was what? I'm going to read what happened, and then I'm going to give y'all, and then we're going to open up the calls, and I have a few talking points, questions I would like you all to answer real quick. We're right on time. It's 8:48. We can jump right in. Real quick here. One second. Let me read it real quick. I'm in Revelation. I said earlier, black men left the church because the Holy Spirit no longer resides there. Why? Was it there once before? Absolutely. And it galvanized the world. The whole world was being moved through a what? A movement led through those black men who believed in the Bible in America. Nat Turner was moved through his truth of understanding he was an Israelite. And he knew who the Edomites were in the other nations. If you go look at Birth of a Nation again. All right, go look at it again, the latest one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, another thing. Marcus Garvey, I think Elder Lawyer mentioned Marcus Garvey earlier. He was galvanized with the understanding of the book, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King. That was the Holy Spirit moving through that Bible, liberating the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, Levi. The Christian church lost the Holy Spirit. How do you know that? Christ said this. He gave them a chance. And don't forget this guy, he quoted that we need to bring back the love of Philadelphia, that Philadelphia love. Well, Revelations 2:9 reads this. I mean, 2 and 4. 2 and 3. This is Christ speaking, pastors. Matter of fact, 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And hast found them liars. So even back then, Christ was pointing out those who was claiming to be apostles and were lying, standing in an apostolic faith without the true doctrine of Christ. Listen, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. That means you started and you never stopped. You didn't get complacent. You didn't wane. You continued to increase, like Elder Lawyer was mentioning. And then he said, the fourth verse, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Y'all, they went more political than spiritual. They went more on the political side of inclusion and equality. And guess what? You can't join a kingdom without leaving one. You can't join into a kingdom of this world without vacating one. We were on our way, and eventually, if we would have stayed there without the inclusion and the equality and letting the wolf into the hen house, when the prophecy comes where Israel began to understand we're Israel, they would have all received it. They would have all got it in due time once the seals were broken. But they left a kingdom. And when we stood as a people, that's a kingdom. The Bible tells you, the kingdom cometh not by observation. The kingdom is within you. When we marched together, when we boycotted together, we were a kingdom that needed to be reckoned with. Anytime the president is trying to sit next on the other side of the table with you to ask you to actually hear your demands publicly, you're shaking the world as a kingdom. And they got complacent. The Holy Spirit was moving them to a point where they would have received the truth that they were Israel. It's not a false doctrine. The Holy Spirit moved. And they stayed in the 60s. Once they sat down and agreed to the whole equality civil rights thing, they left Christ's kingdom. They forgot what it meant to struggle and fight for something. And the Holy Spirit left. Listen to me clearly. They were paid off. And that's what began to stagnate that movement. How many people just joined the church strictly off of Martin Luther King himself? Now, that's a strong black man. A lot of people converted to Christianity or stayed in the church. Because you know why? As a leader, we seen ourselves. As a leader, we seen ourselves. That was our image. Martin Luther King was walking in the image of what? A pastor, a Christian pastor who was holding a doctrine learned about what? Another black man by the name of Christ. Yeshua, Jesus. Guess what? It was the Holy Spirit that led those men. Until they compromised and left their kingdom for this one. So this is what it says in the book of Revelation. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The Christian church was warned by the Holy Spirit over and over again that they were going the wrong way. From prosperity, from Jim Jones, from all the molestations. And the Holy Spirit kept telling them, you're going the wrong way. And they continued. They continued on and on and on and on. And eventually, the Holy Spirit left. And when the Holy Spirit left, When it was time for that prophecy, the awakening, the body of the dry bones waking up, guess what? Them same pastor that was talking to night elders was still back here in the 60s, thinking they have the truth. When the Holy Spirit broke seals that they couldn't get back in the 60s. Okay? You can't put the cat back in the bag. Every young man in this earth has a phone now. They have the Bible now. And a lot of these Christian churches where they've gone, with their actions that our young men have seen inside our community, are more responsible for people actually becoming non-believers than believers. Talking about bringing black men back, they've created atheists. They've created atheists with their actions in the Christian church because the Holy Spirit, like Christ said, would leave. It says, but this thou hast that thou hatest. Listen to this. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. I'm at the fifth verse. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. He was saying, Christ was saying, listen, I'm not going to just do away with you. But at least look at your actions from which you've fallen and come back to where you used to be. I'll embrace you. But they continued down. Degradation, down, 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 and wax worse and worse. And it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Well, guess what? The candlestick was moved from out of the black church, and the candlestick is burning bright, all seven of them, amongst the Israelites. See? Let me tell you, brother, this is where we are. And we're not ashamed to say it because Christ was an Israelite. The disciples were the Israelites. This is where the candlestick was going to burn at the very end anyway. The light to the world, to lead the world back to the truth of the Most High's dear son, Yeshua. It was always going to happen here. But guess what? The old black pastors are left in the past. They are left in their echo chambers. Last verse, it says, listen to this, seventh verse. Matter of fact, the sixth verse. But this thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he says, well, this church got one thing with them, that they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So Christ hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Brothers and sisters, guess what the deeds of the Nicolaitans was? The Nicolaitans were telling people that they can come into church and be baptized and still break the laws of Moses, that they will be accepted amongst the church even if they were to break the laws of Moses. Those were the deeds that Christ hated, that they would claim to be baptized and cleansed only to go back to their vomit. Sounds familiar? The black Christian church, the Christian churches in particular, brothers, real quick, are the Nicolaitans.
Mm-hmm.
They are the Nicolaitans. Do the research on the Nicolaitans. I'm going into it when I go into the academy in Christianity, breaking down all the Christian doctrines. But folks, yes, the Nicolaitans would be synonymous to the Christian church, the black Christian church today, and this is why black men have left the church and aren't coming back. Go ahead, elders. I'm going to give you all the last word, and then we'll open up the lines.
Well, I want to hear what this, Elder. When the brothers was talking, the pastors, and I was hearing the show, and I was heading home, I'm dropping on my wife yeah. off at an appointment. I heard that, men are not being promoted in the Bible, in the church, right? And I'm hearing that men are not feeling like being like men in the church. And what I'm realizing now And something came up. There's two things that came up to, you know, they popped up that I heard twice in my life. And sometimes when I hear two things in my life, sometimes I put it in a database in my brain.
Yeah.
And there was some, this was something that my martial arts teacher told me years ago, Professor Ernest Hyman, he passed away. And also Peterson, I forgot, he's a guy from Canada. He's a professor. He became famous the last year or so too. Something Peterson. He is like a psychiatrist.
Jordan
Peterson. There you go. Thank you, sir. And they both say something differently, but it is the same concept. And this is what my teacher said, and this is what he kind of said in the same scenario, that the term harmless should not be associated with a man. You should not be someone, when someone he sees you or know of you, that the word harmless is associated with you.
Yeah.
And this is the way they broke it down. You should be dangerous in a reckon, a force to be reckoned with. People should know that. You should first learn how to be dangerous and then learn how to control it. Mm. And from a martial arts perspective, the martial arts professor, my teacher, he told me, Carlos, you got to, the reason why you learn how to defend yourself, even to the point to kill a man, then you don't have to. And he explained it this way, that when you are afraid, fear brings panic. Panic brings, you jump into a decision that you wouldn't have not jumped into if you was not nervous.
Yeah.
So if you are a force to reckon with, when you're in the thick of it, you're not as nervous. You're not as anxious because you're in your realm. You're in your development.
You've been there before. Exactly.
You've been there before.
It's muscle memory now.
Muscle memory. Peterson, he said the same thing, but he said it in life in general.
Yeah.
You know, my teacher was talking about specifically martial arts, but he said life in general, excuse me, that you should be someone that once people know of you, it should be words like he's strong. That guy always stands for what is right. That guy always stands for what is true. Don't mess with that guy. He's not the one. He's not a pushover. Those are words that you should be associated with as a man. And he said this, and then my martial arts teacher said this years ago, and it kind of stuck together. It was and things of that nature. This is going back into the conversation about feminism in the churches.
Yeah.
That's the reason why a lot of men are leaving. And the success of a lot of these Israelites, like you go and, you know, holding the line, and the way we were trained coming up, that you're right, you have to learn martial arts and be a man.
Yes.
But then learn how to control it.
Yeah.
You know, so my advice with, I want to leave my brothers today in particular, they listen to the sound of my voice, is learn how to be dangerous and then learn how to control it. Now you're with that.
Mm. Thank you, Elder. We got to open up the calls. I'm going to see if Elder God, just see where he is. I'm going to see if he want to say something real quick. But Elder Lloyd, I'll let say something to you real quick, young man.
Yes, when sir. Just to be brave. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You had something to say?
Yes, sir. Just to be very brief, and I think Elder Gabbar mentioned this earlier, and I think the reason these brothers are having this conversation is obviously because some of their members were lost to Israelites.
Mm.
So I think the best thing for them to do as a solution is, instead of guessing and having a roundtable discussion, reach out to the young men who have left your congregation to be amongst an Israelite group and find out from them, why did they leave? And if you could change one thing about our church, what would it be that would pique your interest? Not to say that you would, but what would be one thing that we can do that would bring you or draw you back to the church? Those are the conversations they need to have with the young men who have possibly left their organization for other groups, and maybe they'll get some better answers. But with that, I'll yield.
Elder, it's deep because I'm going to tell you, when it says we're in one spirit, one body, you answered the question before I asked it. What I was about to ask you, you answered the question first, not knowing what I was about to ask you. That's why I'm sitting there smiling like, what? This is the spirit. Elder Lloyd, it's like this, right? That's why I say it's disingenuous. Because when the young men do go to the churches and say, well, listen, I ran into these Israelites and I just have a few questions, the pastors are more concerned with you saying something that might lead other people out. They're more concerned with those sheep than you. And I can understand, right, you must be protective of the sheep, but that's your sheep too. You can't now have meetings and begin to demonize this young man without confronting him and answering serious, needed questions. Because he's coming to you as, listen to this, that young man is coming to you in respect because he respects you, he honors you, he loves you. Not to be shunned, not to be talked about behind his back now, and now other people are shunning him because he found out he was Israel. That's not how a shepherd operates. A shepherd is a healer. So, Elder Lawyer, when you say call those people in, listen to the scripture I had, and I was going to ask you a question on it, and you can answer that. You can answer to it before I open up the line. 1 Corinthians 6:2, it says, do you know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, this is Paul, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And in this chapter, it says, even choose the youngest amongst you to judge these matters. That in a church, you must bring forth what? Righteous judgment. You was a young man, Elder Lawyer, that your mom brought you up in the church, and look where you are. Okay, look what the Most High done. And that's why I wanted to ask you a question. If a pastor was to come to you and say, Lawyer, you was a young man that I can chart from the beginning of your transformation as a young man, I can go on YouTube and find the first day you've learned and you ran into this Elder Rikashiar and you've grown into a man of the Most High who can stand on your own laurels. And you know you're an Israelite, and you would be, like most, respected even amongst the Christian community, believing in Christ, a young man who's been raised and mentored to a position of a strong young man, right? And they would use you as the example and say, young man, I've seen you on YouTube from the first day, and you've grown into a man who served the Most High and is teaching the Most High's word. We would like to apply that to some of our young men in the church. So, Elder Lawyer, young man, I need you to privately give me some information on what I need to do to turn my church around so that the young men will stay in and grow in full age in this church without leaving it. If they came to you privately, Elder Lawyer, what would be the advice you would give them in a nutshell? What would you say, and quantify that if you can? Understand at the time. If a pastor came to you right now, one of those guys, and came to you and say, I've charted and seen you grow, and I don't want other young men running into that like you did, give me some advice on how to keep them here. Keep them here and not turn to other places. What advice would you give them, Elder Boy?
Well, just drawing from my experience growing up in the truth, to be honest with you, I don't know if the experience that I was raised with in the truth, I'm not sure if a pastor would be able to offer that. And what I mean by that is this. The amount of time, the amount of dedication, the amount of just openness. When I say openness, the ability to come at times and actually stay at your home, to eat at your table, to actually learn from you on a daily basis, to see you operating even outside of just teaching the scripture, to see you living by example. I'm not sure there's too many people who would be blessed to actually have that example and that time and dedication afforded to them by a pastor to be able to actually provide that, you know, it would be like trying to take the experiences I had as a young man learning from you, not just in a classroom, but in just life in general, and turning that into a some type of teaching moment, or trying to, you know, encapsulate that for a classroom setting for a pastor to teach young men. That for me would be very difficult because there's just too many, it's too much experience to draw from.
Okay.
To try to take that and minimize it. I could say just teach the truth, but I received more than just teaching the truth. I've seen someone live the truth. I traveled with someone throughout the four corners of the earth. I don't know if there's too many people who have that experience and can actually experience that and seeing different situations being handled in real time. I don't know if there's too many people who are going to be blessed to actually receive that. So that's a very difficult question for me to answer.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring you in and give you some time to think about that, because one day someone may come to you. But this is what I'm going to tell you, Elder Lawyer. The experience you had with me is the experience we used to have with pastors. Probably not the traveling all over the world, but our Baptist preachers were in the community, in our lives. I'm telling you. Pastor Bishop T. Little, who was about to give me his church at 11th and Collar Hill right before I left. Now the Chinese has it, right downtown. He was about to, the building wasn't doing nothing. He's about to give me the church. Bishop T. Little, Elder Lawyer, would pick us up, take us to his house. We would play checkers, chess. We would sit and hear him deal in consoles and all that. He would drive miles to, so that he can have these big tapes for radio, because he was on the radio every week. And we've seen how he dealt on the outside of that pulpit. Elder Lawyer, that's how our pastors used to be. So what you experienced with me is what I experienced with that pastor. I didn't travel all around the world, but I was able to see that, you know what? This man is living what he believes, and he's willing to instill all of that in me. He cared enough about me, some little poor guy in North Philly, to at least take me out of the community, have me sing on a choir, have me travel to different places. I've never seen him outside of a humble spirit. Never. Elder Lawyer, that's how Christian pastors used to be. I'm going to tell you, that's how they used to be. So I'm glad this is the first interaction, and all praise be to the Most High. But let me tell you, Elder Lawyer, thank you for that, because I didn't know you were going to answer and say, well, you know, and you know I appreciate you. But I didn't know. But I didn't know this. That's what you was going to say. But I'm humbled, and thank you. I want to say thank you, because why? Guess what? I wasn't trying to do anything. I was just doing what I was called to do. And I'm looking forward. It's not about having a pat on the back or being congratulated. I was just doing what I knew to do. And this is what pastors used to be. It used to be organic. It used to be natural to care for young men and not want them to go down the wrong path. That was our position. That was the position of Christian pastors in our community. They loved us.
Right.
They loved us. And that's what the Christian churches, they've become too corporatized. They're corporatized and politicized. So, and I'm not saying we're perfect, but hey, that's the answer you would give them, Elder Lawyer. Y'all need to take y'all pastors, y'all need to church, y'all need to take y'all church, dismantle all of the mega churches, and get back to community-based love like Christ had.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, let me open it up. Elders, oh, man, what a good broadcast. You know what? I'm on my Patreon tomorrow, elders and brothers and sisters, I'm going to have that second part where they ask, where the pastors are asking, why are the young men taking longer to get married? I'm going to handle that tomorrow on Patreon. Why are the young men taking longer? I'm curious to hear what they have to say on this topic. I didn't see that particular video. I turned it off on the Israelite part, at the Israelite part. But I'm interested in hearing what their answer to or what their perspectives are with this topic. Why are young men taking longer to get married? And I wonder, are they willing to put some of the blame for that? So I'm gonna handle that on Patreon tomorrow. I'm gonna handle that on Patreon where they go into why are young men taking longer to get married, elders. Hey, I mean, what a good broadcast. Let me see what God's doing before I open up the line. Hold one second. See if God's is around here. My Benjamite brother. Benjamin. Hold on. Let's see. There. All right. And then we'll open up the lines. I still have some time. I have a lot of stream left, so we're not even at 9:30. And I'm not going to 11 o'clock tonight because I didn't eat yet, actually. I didn't want to eat right now. My mother's she's still in the hospital, but she's going to be good. Make sure y'all put but make sure y'all put the prayers out for me. She's doing better now. She's doing a lot better.
Well,
I'll be there tomorrow morning. Oh, yeah. I'll be there tomorrow morning, man, you know.
Yes, sir.
Gaja, where you at, Gaja? Where you at?
Hey, shalom, Ella. How you doing?
Shalom. You got a video? You got a video? Or...
Shalom.
What's going on? There's too much feedback on your line. Too much feedback. Well, I'm going to let you get it together, guys. Let me open up the line. Here you go. And the question we have out there, right? Here's the question. I have it written down here. What does pastors need to do to bring us back to the church? Black men in particular. Hebrew Harris. 786, let's talk. I see you, Sunshine. I got you.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahiah. Talk to us, Hebrew Harris.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm not going back, to be honest. I'm not going back. But the problem, you opened up a can of worms with this broadcast. It is so deep. It's so many problems in the black church to where one answer couldn't even fix it. First of all, one problem poked Rory's head out at me is that they're teaching the doctrine of their life on how they operate in the world. That's what they're giving to the congregation. The law's done away with. You can do this because that's what they're doing. Their life is lawless. So they have to preach that doctrine because if they come with the truth and the congregation knows this is a hypocrite, they're not going to be there. So that's one problem. I was watching one broadcast that you did where you were showing the idols were falling one after another. And Christ is coming to dismantle. He has drawn a line in the sand to where you got to make a choice. You either finna come on the side where the kingdom is or you finna ride with Satan. And Satan has wedged himself wherever Christ is not at. Satan has wedged himself in there, so he's all in the church. These pastors aren't preaching the doctrine of Christ. Christ isn't residing in their temple, so how can they teach what they don't obtain? They don't have Christ in them. They can't teach it. So Satan is all in there, and Christ is knocking it down. You either finna come where the kingdom is at, you finna follow him, you finna do my father's work, or you finna ride with Satan. What you gonna do? And he's tearing everything down. And it's a line has been drawn. They're panicking. They don't know what to do. Fix your life first. Fix your life. Learn. You got to start off from scratch. Learn the true doctrine of this Bible. don't teach what Esau has taught you out of these schools. Start from scratch, learn the true doctrine, and preach the true doctrine, and live by these laws, statutes, and commandments, and you'll be able to teach it. We waking up, and
yeah.
this GOCC yeah. ministry, Elder, I believe that you see what, but I don't think you actually see the power in this ministry, sir. It is very difficult for a person to lead righteously. You got plenty of people out there that try to be leaders, try to poke their chest out and try to run things. But this here, you, Elder Lawyer, Elder Gabar, that is righteous leadership at its finest. And the way you can tell, just when you asked Elder Lawyer that question about if another pastor came to him, and his answer shows the spirit in this church. Look, I sit back and I look at Elder Lawyer on how he has grown in his ministry. I go back to old lessons where he's got the twist in his hair. He got a little dreadlocks in his hair. And he's flipping through the scripture, and he's flipping through the Bible, trying to find it like he's in a trance. And now you tell him a chat, he goes right to it. Come, and I'm like, man, this man has grown. That is righteous leadership. And they don't have that.
Let me tell you something, young man. No, a lot of people don't know when we first started getting together, and there were some people getting on the phone. It was like a heresy where they were trying to tear down the little bit that I worked to do in the church and to try to get some young men together so that I can teach. I'm like, man, I need at least 2-3 guys where I can just put everything into, right? That's what I was thinking. And I found out that there was a conference about trying to say something negative, and I found the conference number, and I actually called in. And the only thing I asked was, hey, is Lawyer on this phone? That's the first thing I asked. And they were surprised that I was there listening to them saying all these things that weren't true about me. But I'm like, listen, y'all can go ahead about your private conversations and all that. I hope it works out for you. Is Lawyer on the phone? And they said, well, no, Lawyer's not there. But they were shocked that I was there. They was like, well, hold up. I'm like, no, keep y'all conversations going. Because I was thinking back then, listen, I don't need that many people. I thought I was going to have 2-3 men. I'm like, it's just one person. If I can put everything I've learned into that one person, we got two and we can move. You probably didn't know that story, but hey, I'm glad he was able to persevere. And it didn't matter whether or not he was on the call or whatever the case is, I was going to invest some time in that young man because why? He was ready to hear. He was ready to hear, and he was a sponge, and he was always respectful. And that's one thing about it. You're not – yeah, listen,
I'm
you
sorry,
can never
I'm sorry,
be guarded. Thank you, brother. You can never be guarded when you are in the presence of humility. That means when you have someone who's willing to just open themselves up and just receive and they're totally humble. Listen, I wasn't guarded with that. I'm like, everything I've got, young man, just listen. Step by step. I started off teaching him the Hebrew. Now he's the Hebrew guy. So I'm like, I don't even got to deal with that. I'm like, I done forgot stuff because I wanted to, I'm like, okay, you got that? It's time for me to build something else over here.
Man, absolute honor.
Well, brother, it's an honor. It's an honor to have you a part of the work too, man. And one day, hey, we'll be talking about you, man. Just stay in this space, all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, praise the higher. All right. Bless you, sir. Thank you.
Gotcha. The Benjamite man. The Benjamite man. Hold up. Where you at? There you go. Give it up for Gaja. Come on. Talk to us, Gaja, real quick. I got feedback.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be quiet.
One sec. Give me 1 minute. Let me just switch my phone over so I can come through there, okay?
Okay, do that and I'll bring you right back. Okay, guys, you got the hair all pressed, you know what I mean? They got the beard shining. Okay, young man, I see you. Vayaqua has a comment. Vayaqua has a comment.
Shalom, Otis. How are you?
Shalom. The pastors have an issue. They saying that they got an issue. They need to talk about how to, why is black young men choosing Israelites over the black church? What's going on here? The floor is yours. You have a comment.
I was thinking about how the prosperity doctrine may have something to do with it, and having Christ become something of monetary value, like passing around an offering plate 3-4 times a service, and they're leading their congregations to love Christ, and they may love Christ, but the pastors only may love Christ because of how they can bend him to reel black people back in. It's like they've turned the Most High into a genie, which I remember that was one of the first lessons I heard when I came to the TOCC, talking about how the Most High wasn't a genie. Anyway, and I was saying, not to mention the feel-good sermons, like Bishop Anya be saying, that made to tickle your ears, and how they talk more about freedom to do whatever you want to do rather than following the Most High's law, statutes, and commandments, like we're supposed to, like cherry-picking what exactly that they want you to hear to keep you grounded in their pews. And I was going to say their lips are just dripping saccharine, if you know what I mean.
Well, sister, thank you. Good. So let me ask you, you were raised in the Christian church, right, sister?
Yes, sir.
Is there any reason you would go back there?
No way.
Oh,
now, I've been
GOCC. Listen, that's a strong statement. That's a strong stance there, right? So there's no reason at all you would ever go back there. In a nutshell, if you had to quantify it, and a pastor asked you, well, why won't you come back to church? This is where you were raised. And what would be your answer?
I would say there's nothing I'm learning here. Like, I've been with GOCC for almost 5 years. And after what I've learned here and seeing what they're teaching in the Christian churches, like seeing like one scripture per 2 hours, and I'm like, no, that's not something I want to see. And I don't want to go back to living in sin the way I see my former friends who were in the Christian church, the way they're living now. I don't want to fall back into that.
So being with the church and understanding you're an Israelite following Christ with the knowledge of the law have instilled some level of, really fear of the Most High. Fear of the Most High can be healthy. So obviously you've learned how to love the Most High, but still fear him.
Yes,
and that fear no longer exists in the Christian church. Man, good point. Like I said earlier, pastors, it's not just the young black men that have left the church. Thank you, sister. My place you on hold. Yashar, I see you. We'll bring you up in a moment. Arak, great point. I'm a round of applause for the sister there. I see you, Arak, and I see you, Yashar. I got you. But I need to bring Elder Gaja in one moment. Let's see. Gaja in the house. Talk to me, Gaja, real quick. Talk to me.
Hey, man. How am I coming in now? Better?
Yeah. Floor is yours. Give you a quick couple of minutes, and then, you know.
What should the pastors do? First and foremost, we need truth, all right? If the pastor's not bringing truth, ain't nobody going to stay there. With everything going on right now, we need truth. First and foremost, all right? You need to start telling these young black natives and Hispanics that they are the children of God. Okay, there's no other way. It's not going to happen if you don't let them know who they are and where they fell from. And that's why the Christian church falling. The Christian church pastor come to church with a book from headquarters and have the Bible open up from it and reading off a sermon that they sent down. Them days are done. That can't hold nobody anymore. People waking up. The information is out there right now. So until these pastors are going to bring truth, it's not going to happen. And that's why they're losing people out of the congregation. And it won't stop. It's gonna keep going. You with me? I tell you what's going to happen. Just like how in 325 AD, when Constantine said, yo, listen, we can't beat these guys. We need to join them. That's where it's at right now. So these Christian people are going to have to join, going to have to come on board. But it won't be like back then when they can come and corrupt it, because we already seen that corruption. Now they're going to have to come and conform. You with me? That's where it's at right now. El, I don't know if I told you, but
it's, church... Listen, it's deep that you said, because I've thought of it that way, but based on what Elder Gabbar said earlier, that what he said, I don't want to give away the secret sauce. I'm like, well, listen, there's no secret sauce. It's really Christ. But they, but what you just said is, they're going to have to humble themselves like Nicodemus did, and went and learned even privately.
Exactly.
The doctrine. They're going to have to humble themselves. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, Ella, I don't know if I told you this, but there was a church in Jamaica that the entire church converted over and now following the Gathering of Christ Church. We did a mass baptism with them a few months ago. About 20 of them got baptized. And that's a church. A pastor, his wife, the congregation said, yo, listen, this is where the truth's at. And many a stories like that around the world right now where churches are reaching out saying, yo, listen, we hear what's going on, you know, and we'd like to be a part of this. You understand me? So they're going to have to come and conform to the doctrine of Christ and conform to the truth. The paganism is not going to work anymore. It's failed. Everybody can see it. Everybody has seen that way has failed. So we're going to have to come to Christ, and we have to come to the truth. You need to start telling these people who they are. You have to draw a line between state and church. Are you going to represent government and Lucifer and his system, or are you going to represent Christ? It's either or.
Okay, so Gaja, yeah, okay, you cutting with the sword here, right? Like, you know, Elder Lawyer came in eloquently, you know, with total humility, you know. Gabbar came in with, okay, I'm going to tell you what it is. The Gathering of Christ Church is kind of growing. I don't know about he coming with his piece, but let me ask you real quick. If a pastor was to come to you right now and says, Gaja, I want to win black men back into our Christian church. And guess what? Hey, this is, and Gabbar had this testimony where pastors and others are coming to us because we used to rent from pastors, and they're looking at the churches packed where there's no room on Saturday, but on Sunday, there's no one coming to church. And they think it's some type of shtick. They think it's some type of, you know, gimmick. Yeah, they're saying, well, what are y'all doing to have these people up in here that we're not? Like we can convey some information that they'll be able to utilize for Sunday. No, the answer is Sunday worship is finished. Listen, the evidence is what? The evidence is in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Sabbath, everyone's here. Sunday,
empty.
They're absent. So the people are telling you what they want, and you're looking for us to give you some evidence outside of what?
Yep.
What you can actually see. But go ahead, God.
Yeah, you see, the churches were built off witchcraft. They got the people into that Sunday church through sorcery. So now the people not there anymore. They're looking over on the Sabbath saying, well, okay, then what's, you know, it's Simon Magnus. What is it that you're doing? Can we buy it? Is it something that we can buy? And it's not. This is what Sunday church was built off. And check this out, Elder. I was never ever really part of a Sunday church. So
yeah.
I can't empathize with a pastor. If a pastor was to come to me and say to me, yo, listen, what should I do to bring people back? I'd be like, yo, dude, shut the door and come over here. You can fall.
Oh, man. Fall. I mean, man, where's the mercy, man? You're talking about shut the door and come over here. Lord, that's Benjamin. Oh, man, yeah. Hey, all right, man. So let me, there go Gaja. Thank you. Shut the door and come. Hey, it's happening all over the earth. They're coming in. They're coming to the truth. Now, there's other things I want. Anything else? You have the last word before I let you share it.
No, man, I'm good, man. I'll mute the mic for now.
My man. Oh, man. Hey. We're almost in the home stretch, folks. And you know what? The men are rearing up on this side. Pastors, they sitting there in their Zoom in their little echo chamber. Hey, we're here with open arms and we're willing to sit and discuss. We don't have to debate or nothing. We'll go into the scriptures and share the gospel of Christ for all you pastors. 973.
Yes, sir. Arat, Elder, can you hear me?
I can hear you,
Arat. Can you hear me, Elder?
Yes, sir. Hear you. The time's yours.
Shalom to the elders. I have a scripture that I want to read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, right?
Okay.
It says, but sanctify the Most High power in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, when you look at the Christian church, right, what I heard, because I didn't really grow up in a Christian church, is that you can't really ask the pastors questions, right? And that's kind of a hole that they dig themselves into, right? Because now that you know they're looking for black men to come to them, but they already established that you can't come in and question us and ask us a question, right?
Mm.
So that's kind of something that they established, right? Another point. This is something that Elder Lawyer addressed earlier, right? When it says that the pastor says that not enough real issues is being addressed in the church, and it goes back to that scripture. How can you're basically showing a black man that you're not interested in the issues that they have because they can't come to you and ask you anything because of what you establish, right? Elder also, I'm going to be probably about 20 more seconds, and then I'm going to yield. Elder, you mentioned a scripture earlier about the vomit, right? And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but the church is the vomit. That's how I'm looking at it. The church, is the vomit, right? And the last thing, Elder, right, when you brought up a point that Elder Gabar mentioned earlier about how they're looking at us to see, well, what are they doing? And I don't know if you remember in Acts chapter 8, they're exhibiting the same spirit that Simon had when the apostles was, you know, laying on the hands of the Holy Spirit, and Simon was looking at them, well, how can I get that? You know, how can I get that? And he went about it the wrong way, you know, trying to buy the Holy Spirit. And this is the same spirit that the Christian pastors, are exhibiting. And I'm going to yield there, and then you can expound because, you know, I'm going to yield there.
Okay. Okay. So you could never find yourself joining a Christian church, a black Christian church in particular.
Nope. It's the vomit. I see it as the vomit.
Oh, yeah. You can't be wallowing in vomit. All right, well, that's stronger than I can come. I'll give it a little bit more grace than that. I more like quicksand. I think they're stuck. But I'll hold you down. But guess what? Hey, we got that stick, which is Christ, to pull you right up. Hold on to that stick. Hold on to that stick, and hey, we'll guide you out. We don't want anyone to, you know, to fall to quicksand. 347, Yashar, you're in the house. How you doing, Yashar?
Shalom, my elders. Shalom.
Shalom, the floor is yours. Come on.
Thank you, Elder. The question on the table, what can the black church do to bring young men back in the church? And
what can they do?
Things, but I'm going to quantify just a few, right? And I'm gonna give it three layers. God, leaders, and are individualized, and by the end, it'll all tie itself in. Okay, when, as a young man, you reach a certain point where you look at a leader, a man of God, and the only thing you want him to do is to just teach you how to follow God. That's all I need you to do. Now, in doing that, one thing as young people we want to see is them being transparent and them laboring amongst us. So now, for me, Elder, what can they do? On the leadership aspect, when I came amongst Israelites, the Israelite church, the Gathering of Christ church, it was an experience I have never ever, ever in my life have ever experienced. To the point, there's certain memories that could never leave my mind. And again, what we're asking the leaders to do is to teach me how to follow God. And as an Israelite, what is our introductory scriptures? Study to show thyself approved. Follow the law, statutes, and commandments. That is your schoolmaster to go to Christ. And as we're doing that, studying to show yourself approved, we all come across the scripture, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is another thing that they can do. They have to purge out all manner of hypocrisy because they're trying to hook line up young people. Oh, you know, come get the love, come get the love. But did it ever occur to you that I only want you to show me how to follow God? So teach me how God loves. Teach me what is the love of God. And I didn't get that in the Christian church. I got that when I came amongst Israelites. And when I go amongst Israelites, the love is the commandments of God. It is the commandments. So when I'm reading it, I'm learning it. And then when I learn it from my leaders, it hits differently when you see it in them. So when he was talking about this is how the young men want to experience the pastors. Well, let me talk about something real quick that when I seen Elder Gabar do this, I tipped my hat and I never even told this to him. When we used to go to Bible study and he used to tell us what scripture is that chapter and verse. And if you called the wrong scripture, he told us we got push-ups in the church. Now, how do you think we feel that the Bible says study to show yourself approved? And my elders telling me I got push-ups if I don't know the scripture that says what scripture proves the Israelites are saints. And to this day, elder, I know what scripture that is because of what Elder Gabar did.
Oh, yeah.
That's Psalms 58:5 that says that because of that. And lastly, hey, man, underestimated. Hey, go ahead, elder.
Yo, I'm going to tell you. Elder Gabar bring out that old school. See, that's how it was. That's man, that's how what Gabar did with y'all is how we were raised up. I mean, let me tell you, it was to a point where I would sit there and the teacher is up there and I have to listen, it's like another language. I had to understand almost through the force what scripture he wanted me to get, and it couldn't be wrong. He would say something out of his mouth. And, you know, Yohana would say something. Get me with a man went around the corner. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, right in the corner. All right. He must be talking about, you know, with the young men standing corners. Let me go to Can you hear me? He would say, get me with a man went around the corner. And I'm like, and I would sit there and I would have that scripture. He said, read. It was total trust that no matter what people were thinking, we had to know that Bible to a degree where we couldn't get the scripture wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, brother, what Gabar did, this is how we were trained, man. I'm talking about being a ninja with the word. It doesn't matter what someone come up and say. You would have the precept to give an answer. That's meticulous study. And by the way, hey, that's how we break it down. We do it easy. Y'all did it through push-ups. Now we got the Hebrew Bible Academy, and everything is written down for you, and you can follow it that way.
I'm going there, man. I'm going there.
What I'm saying.
I'm going there. Too.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me say this. Because, Elder, the thing is this, right? We all know the precepts. The king asked, what is the greatest thing on earth? And he said it's the truth. How between the three of you, I've asked you guys over 150 questions. And the reason I ask is because I just want to learn how to follow the Most High. I want to learn what the Bible is saying. But now that's discouraging when I go to a Christian pastor and he doesn't have the answer. And that's okay if he doesn't have the answer, but he's shunning me, like dismissing me asking. And, Elder, I literally had this experience like 3 months ago. I left a mega church in Brooklyn. As a matter of fact, the pastor that you showed who didn't take the stuff on the radio station, that's the church I left in Brooklyn. I reached
you
out to them. Elder, I'm telling you the truth.
One of the pastors that we actually showed tonight on the Zoom call was pastor you was under?
No, Elder, you showed in a previous broadcast a Brooklyn pastor who did not take the stuff in a news article. You did that a couple months ago.
Oh yeah, that news article. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
That's the pastor I was under before. And,
Elder,
when you did that broadcast, you're going to laugh. I reached out to the church. They reached back out to me. I was telling them, I said, as a young man, I would like for you to have a conversation with my pastor. because I'm a young man, and I think that this conversation should be had. They're reaching back out. Elder, I kid you not. When I sent them.
Hey, let's have the conversation.
No, let's Elder, check this out. When I sent them your YouTube channel, this was at the time that the lesson you had just did was called Judah, the African American. I was left on read. They read my message and never replied back to me ever again. So that looked disingenuous to me. Yes, I called Elder on the phone. I was like, Elder, they left me on read, and we had a fluid conversation before.
Hey, well, who knows? Who knows? Try to reach out again. Who knows? All right.
I'll do it. We've always got to have mercy, Elder. So I will yield with that. And just lastly, Elder, when you guys taught us the truth, it gave us that discipline. The Most High loves, he said, those I love, I correct, and the discipline comes. And now I have a direction where I'm seeking, I've learned how to, the importance of marriage. I've learned what it means to be a man in image of the Most High and what the Most High requires of me to have a purpose in this earth outside of what America wants me to believe my purpose is. And I could never, ever have gotten that anywhere else. So I thank the Most High for sending the Israelites in my life. All praise be to the Most High.
Man, let me tell you, brother, every time I talk with you, every time I see you, you're bringing that energy, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Shalom, Yeshua.
Shalom.
Lenore, 302 area code, 302 area code, Lenore.
Shalom.
Shalom, did I get your name correct, Lenore?
Yes, it's Lenore.
Okay, Janelle is next. Okay, go ahead, Lenore. What was yours?
Yeah, you were asking about the men, and so I thought that I would put my husband on the phone. But my personal experience growing up in church, I just didn't see what I saw in the Bible. And it vexed me a lot. And so I was in and out of the church different times of my life for years. And I remember
in particular, Lenore, just to give specifics and examples, right? Because what I'm going to do, AC, I'm going to need AC to go through this video with some of these answers, clip it so that we can send it to some of those pastors to hear outside of their, so they can hear on the outside of their echo chamber of why
I didn't know I
decided
would do
to no longer deal with it. So I'm just saying.
I didn't know I would
say,
do this.
But when you said you didn't see things in your church.
I didn't see the love of Christ in the church. I saw sin in the church that was never addressed. I would see people discouraging other people, talking about people. I would see poor people come in the church, and they would not be treated kindly, but people that were dressed better would be treated more kindly. And it brought me to the point where, as a grown-up, it showed me how not to be. It taught me how not to be, basically, you know. And I remember being in church, and they talked about the tribe of Judah and Judah meeting praise. And I remember saying to myself, I'm in the tribe of Judah. I just said it. Just, you know, I didn't know what I was saying. But, you know, and I remember even being at work saying, oh, they're working me like a Hebrew slave. You know, just different points in my life that now everything is connected. You know what I mean? I used to wear head wraps, and people were like,
listen, you look like a Jewish person. That was true. That was true.
But I didn't know. I didn't know, though. But I met my husband, and he led me to the truth. And it was funny because we bumped heads a lot, and I didn't understand why. I'm like, well, if I'm a Christian and he's following Christ, we should be able to get along. But I understand now, you know, I understand a lot better now, and I'm still learning, you know, to be, you know, I knew I had a calling on my life, but I was called as an Israelite woman.
It's just that, you know, it's not anyone's fault, but the Most High God is at war with the spirit of feminism.
Yes.
And if I think one thing that stands out above all when it comes to Israelite men take a hard stand when it comes to positions, just like the Most High. We're not going to ask the Most High to budge. And I think that's a different nuance, especially amongst us as Christians, to take a hard stance and say, well, listen, Listen, yeah, we both have a say. But there's a hard stance when it comes to a man being a man. And that's what an Israelite man represents. If the Most High is at war with feminism, then an Israelite man would be what? he would be the judge. Exactly. He would be speaking laws against that particular spirit. He'd be speaking against that particular spirit. And that's hard in Israel. Because we weren't raised to understand the damage of feminism. So I think that's why y'all butting heads, because, you know, women and men were raised to be at odds with one another, actually.
Shalom, Elder. Shalom.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. The reason I would never go back to church is I actually experienced something when I was probably about 9, and it was concerning a friend in our neighborhood. I grew up in a close neighborhood, so,
okay,
you know, we didn't just let things, people come in our neighborhood and do stuff. So one of our friends, my friend, got molested by the priest at the church,
by the
neighborhood church.
By
the priest. No, I'm not even kidding. And
okay, go on.
I had a cousin, an older cousin of mine, found out. He went around there and tried to rip the door off the church. He said, "Oh no, you ain't
okay.
coming to our neighborhood to do that." And this young man, he lived with his grandma, so he didn't have a father in the home. But he was still family to us. Anybody that moved on our street, we considered them family. So
that's how it used to be.
You know,
that's how it used to be.
And you know, I remember going to the church door, and you could see the blood trail going all the way around to his house. I said, "No, that ain't of God." I stopped going, because they had me in there with the smoke thing going up and down the aisle. I didn't know what I was doing.
You mean
I said, that ain't of God right there, because you don't do that to no child. And that was the end of that. So, and when I came on into the truth, it was right after my mom passed in 2013 and 2014, I came into the truth. And then I met my wife in 2017, and I introduced it to her. And she was an ordained minister. She said she ain't never going back to the church.
She was an ordained minister.
She was an ordained minister, but...
So let me ask you this, because normally, from a Christian standpoint, if a woman was told that, okay, you can't have that position, she would probably leave the position with some level of resentment. Or she would try to go into and show that Deborah and try to...
I'm going to let her tell you.
But was there any level of resentment when she understood that she were operating out of position? Let me put it that way. Was there any level of resentment?
No, there was no level of resentment, because it was like my eyes were opened, even though in some respects, you know, with the scriptures, I knew that I was only supposed to teach, you know, women and children. You know what I mean?
Nope.
So it wasn't.
All right.
It wasn't that much of a stretch for me to just, you know, discontinue or just, you know, to submit to what I was supposed to do and what I was supposed to be. I think the hardest thing was just knowing what to do or be as an Israelite woman. That transition was really hard for me. And the music, because I'm a worshiper, I'm a praiser, I write song lyrics. It's like, so it was hard. It was hard for me.
And you can do that. You can do that. You can praise the Most High. David praised the Most High. You're not losing on there, right?
But I think for me, that transition, though, was hard, because I didn't want to mix Christian music with Israelite music. I wanted to, you know what I mean, because of the mindset behind it. You know what I mean? I know who I'm worshiping, but I don't want to be a stumbling block to someone who's in the Christian church and who might see me sing a Christian song thinking that I'm singing to that their particular God, you know?
Okay, well, hey, you know what? I grew up singing in the Christian church, and I just rearranged some of the words, and I, listen, it's okay to praise the Most High. Hey, well, hey, it's nothing like a family coming into this truth together and standing strong in the word, so. Hey, all praises to the Most High for your family who are now a part of the work and the truth. Thank you. I'm gonna place you on hold. And hey, and guess what? Hey, even, listen, Christ says, it tell you straight out. Let me move this person. Somebody putting some stuff up in this chat they shouldn't be putting up in there. Anyway, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Okay, this is not no saying somebody's better than the other. Let me tell you, I believe that these men who are in these churches can come to the knowledge of the truth and be serious pillars in this work. Okay, if they're willing to transition. Mm-hmm. It takes a level of humility to do so. It takes a level of humility like Christ to come and say, you know what? You know, let me do this. Let me at least look into what these brothers are saying. Is there any merit to that? And if we are Israelites, if what they're saying is true, should we now recalibrate what we've been teaching? Okay? What the theologian seminary college given to us to actually come in and put a wedge in between the true doctrine that our people were learning organically as slaves before the white man came in with this Cedric Ogier and all that. All right. So, hey, we're here. We're willing to deal with the history with our pastors, and we do. We have pastors in the academy. Okay. Elder Lawyer, what are we going into in the academy this weekend? The split between Israel and Judah. That's a great lesson for pastors to come in. So, because we don't only deal with the Bible. We deal with the history of how the Israelites were once in the land of Israel and through the curses began the diaspora where we would spread throughout the earth like the Most High prophesied we would be spread out. Now, the curses concerning the areas we would actually go into, including the Americas. So a lot of this history our pastors don't have. And then they're going to say, well, even if we are Israelites, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. Okay? It does matter. Ask the black men that you are claiming that you want to that you want back. Ask them if it matters. So understand when Christ said, I will make you fishers of men, that implies that a fisher understands what bait to use to catch. So when you say it doesn't matter, well, if it mattered to that black young man that you're saying that you need to come back to your church, right? You're using the wrong bait. I will make you fishes of men. Some fishes swim at the top, some in the middle, some be around where the rocks are, where you have to put the weight and get that hook all the way down where you can find that fish. Well, guess what? Israelites is the bait of all baits. It's national identity. And through that, now I can say, okay, I'm an Israelite. I'm not an Ishmaelite. I'm not an Edomite. I'm not a Hamite. What are the prophecies concerning me? What is my future according to that Bible with me as an Israelite now? See, now I'll know where I stand prophetically. So for you pastors to just totally be just discounting that and dismissing it, you're missing out. Janelle, I see you, sunshine. I'm going to bring you in because I know you have a dissertation, but I'm going to let you go through it. 347 area code. I know she's smiling. She's laughing right now. 347 area code.
Shalom, Elder. How you doing?
Shalom. I'm going to get a few more. Shalom, Janelle. The floor is yours. What do they need to do to bring us back? Or will that ever happen?
Shalom, Elder. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Or if you want to, if you have any other comment, the floor is yours. Whatever.
Okay. Well,
whatever you would like
well,
to talk
I have
about.
A question. Okay, well, no problem. I have a question and a comment. Now, the question is going to lead into my comment.
Okay.
There was a few years ago, you had an a pastor, a Christian pastor, who found the truth, and he started his
yes.
church. He was an older guy. Is he
yes.
still around?
Okay. Oh no, unfortunately, and you know, we'll see him in the kingdom. He passed 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that, because with him, okay, because with
yeah.
him, you know, for him to be an older man, and he was a pastor, and for him to come out of the Christian church and then start wanting to form his, or trying to reform his church to do it the right way, and then if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
I think his, like, most of his congregation left. I would have liked to have seen those pastors that had that panel discussion include someone like him, but of course that can't happen now because, you know, he's gone on in the bosom of Abraham.
Yeah.
So now leading into,
we'll see him again.
So leading into my comment, see, that panel discussion is the reason why, probably, and I can't speak for a man because I'm not a man, I'm a woman. So I'll speak for just in general. That panel discussion right there, probably with the exception of one of them who actually spoke about the masculinity, is the reason why
yeah.
we don't want to go back to the Christian church, because the pastors came off somewhat elitist, and the statements that some of them made, it was an oxymoron. Like, so how can you say that the Israelite doctrine is wrong, but yet you don't know it or you don't understand it? So then that's telling me that you have been indoctrinated and you have been manifested in the doctrine that you have been taught, and that you can't open up your mind to see that, wait a minute, hold on, there might be something different. So I can't rock with that. Another reason why I don't want to go back to church, to the Christian church, and I'm going to be honest, I know, if my own pastor was to ask me, you know, why did you leave? I would tell her, number one, you should not be a woman in a pastor position. And I know you. So why am I going to go back to something that I already know what I left? Forget about me going back to my vomit. I know the pastor church I came out of. I know that there is that the house of Ichabod, the name Ichabod is written all over that place. So I don't want to go nowhere near it. And then to tie it into our modern time, what we're living with, there was very few churches that was actually talking about what was going on during the pandemic. And during the pandemic, instead of the pastors going to the hospitals and laying their hands and letting the power of Christ be shown throughout the masses, that yes, you can pray, and that their person that they label Christ, I'm not going to say the J word,
yeah,
can heal you. They were, a lot of them either closed down their churches, was in their homes, scared. So then if you don't have power, and if you're scared, then why should I come to your church and serve the Christ that you serve? Because some of us actually remember going to all night tent services, and you used to see the blind eyes would open. You would see the wheelchairs, the people coming in with the wheelchairs, and they walked out healed. But again, what people are not, well, the selected pastors, and again, some of those pastors that was in that panel, some of them were selected, and then Kojic was there. So I know that their presiding bishop was selected, not elected, because of who his wife is and who his wife is connected to. But that's a whole nother story.
Okay.
But most of the pastors, from what I can see, have been selected and not elected. So if the Most High, through his son Yeshaya, did not elect you, selected you to be in that position, then all of it is going to come to naught. It's not going to last.
Thank you, sister. I really appreciate it. Great points. And one thing, I'm going to place you on hold. One thing she said in particular that's interesting is that really church has become more political. It's about being selected. It's the politics of churches now. It's like the black church is another wing of the Democratic Party almost. It's a political apparatus. It's a political machine used to galvanize votes for the system. So, they're more selected. They're not called by the Almighty. God, you said you wanted, you had something to say real quick? God?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, just what the sister, the caller before mentioned when she was talking about the molestations in the church. And that's another thing, right? The amount of people that have been molested, raped from the Catholic Church, and nobody said nothing about that. And this isn't a conspiracy, you know, or this is something that, you know, that this is something that we made up. It's out there. The information is there where people can see. So how can these church still hold allegiance to the Roman whore? How can you do that and expect that we supposed to come and galvanize with you? No, it's not going to work. When you look at this image here, you can see me?
I see it. I got it. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, yeah. When you got this image up there, that's in all of your churches, in all of your homes, you have to start ripping this down. This is an image of slavery. You with me? So until they can do that, then we are going. They will never get back the people. You with me? The pastors them, and talking about even that effeminate behavior. Linking that over, not just with the churches, with the so-called conscious community. You with me? On what? And the crazy craziness going on over there. And the craziness going on over there with them is the same thing. The black so-called, the so-called conscious leaders, the so-called black pastors, them. It's the same thing. The same effeminate spirit. The same molestation going on. You with me? Allegedly, with that brother there.
The little girl, yeah.
Yeah, you understand? Religious, so yeah. all of these things going on within the black community, and like you said, the political aspect of it. You with me? And this political aspect of it is not new. This was going on from in the days of Malcolm, Martin, going back to Marcus. They were trying to gain the black pastors them, you know, to come on. To bring the votes of the black people in within the states. It's nothing different. That's why, you know, you had Malcolm going up against a lot of the Christian pastors them and calling them sellouts, because understanding that, you know, they were delivering the people them into the hands of politics, and it wasn't supposed to be about politics. It was supposed to be about God. It was supposed to be about nationality. It was supposed to be about, you know, human rights as opposed to civil rights. You with me? And all of these things right now, when we look at it, the politics behind it, Elder, the politics that is played, that's been played, and like I mentioned before, 325 AD, Constantine, that was politics. The Constantine knew that if he declared himself Christian as a Roman emperor, then it would have given him some sort of autonomy with what the followers of Christ are doing. But then, same madness going on today.
Yeah, political morphing for constituency. He didn't believe in Christ. He's going to use it as a political tool. Yeah. So that's a great point. It didn't, you know. Yeah, the church was lost after really 70 AD when they destroyed Jerusalem. And I thank the Most High, because I believe the seals have been open, and I know they're open now, where you can, if you want to know the truth, you can find that truth in this Bible. And I'm just, you know, I'm gracious and humble to be a part of the rebuilding, the gospel that was lost, to tell you the truth. And one day, thank you, God. Do you have anything to say on that?
No, that's it, man. All right. I'll come back in.
Yeah. One day, Elder Gabar called me out of nowhere, and I think it hit him all at once. He was on the phone, and I'm like, yeah, God, Gabar. I'm like, what's going on? He says, Elder. He says, man, this is the truth. Out of one day, he just called me out of nowhere. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, no. He says, Elder Ricard, he says, Ricard, this is the truth, man. I'm like, it's always been the truth, but something, I don't know what it is. He just said it. And I'm like, well, okay. but you have to realize this wasn't planned. It wasn't calculated. This church built organically. Out of necessity, we grew and we organized according to the epistles, based on the need of all the people coming in. And we had to organize it. It wasn't planned. It wasn't calculated. We just went out and we began to teach, and the Holy Spirit did the rest. I mean, so 757 area code. Thank you. Thank you, Elders. 757 area code, Charles. Yep.
Shalom. Wow.
How you doing, Charles?
Can you hear me? I'm doing great.
Well.
I'm doing great.
We're gonna keep it down to 2 minutes because we have to do quick fire.
Okay.
2 minutes each so that I can eat. I haven't eaten anything today.
Yes, I'm Charles.
We're going.
The GOCC 757-804 body.
Okay.
You know, just like the sister said, from the beginning they said they never studied us. So they basically had gathered men together to basically try to give witness of something they can't witness about. And, you know, one thing about this, too, is that, you know, they play, there is the element of political stuff with the church, but they'll play politics, but they can't align up the characters in the Bible to even play the correct biblical politics with what happens then back in 70 AD, 721, all the way up to Antiochus Epiphanes and to our current president about every element that the Gentiles of Babylonian worship is. They can't connect the right politics, biblical politics. To this day, they can't even, it's a eugenics, it's a science that's against God. It's even the image of the Elohim. You know, that would show you that, you know, they think that he got two eyes and all of that, and it stops there. They don't know, the depth of what a marriage is. And that's how they even allow homosexuality in there. And even to the point that they're referring to who are the nations. And it's just for me, like, I'm going to be real, I'm going to be straight up. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be real straight up. I haven't even been a man until I came into this truth. I've never fully became a man until I understand. I heard of it, but actually walking in it, understanding my purpose here on earth and what a family is and the direct descendants of the chosen people. And I all praise the Most High and all double honor to you of the elders. And especially, I was able to connect with Elder Gabar and showing us that the first commandment is knowing that He is our God that led us out of Egypt. You know, but that right there, they don't even keep the first five commandments. Because if you look at it, it's that one. It's that's not how they got before me because they have Christ
I gotta get to the next call. I said straight fire now. 2 minutes per.
Yeah.
I got your point, but let me get to the next call, Charles.
All right, Shalom.
Shalom. There's a lot to unpack there. All right, but yeah, he's right. You can't have the Ten Commandments up in the church. You can't have a picture of the Ten Commandments or a montage with, or whatever, a statue with the Ten Commandments there in stone or whatever, how they do it sometimes in the churches, and not remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Right? Let's see. Then they'll come with things like, who knows what day we really is? Sunday could be the Sabbath. I'm like, okay. All right. Lord have mercy. 443 area code.
Shalom, Elder. Shalom.
Shalom, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing good. I don't think it's anything the Christian church could do to get us back. Israelites have been on Jerry Springer, Montel Williams since the 90s, talking about we were Israelites. They call this black identity extreme. Why would I go to the Christian church now when you guys have been doing the work? Not just you guys, any other group of Israelites have been doing the work. Why would we go when you guys have intentionally got on Instagram and had conferences and lied about us and come across us when you see us in the streets? What would be the benefit of us to continue to learn from them and want to go back when you guys have been doing the work and teaching us the truth?
That is the truth. That is, you know what? I think they just sat back on their laurels and became proud and figured that, okay, we are an institution. Not only are we an institution, we have backing. We have backing from the theologian seminary. We have the white man behind me. You know what I mean? We have the system behind us. So these guys are bottom basement. They'll never put a wedge or dent into this congregation. Look how big we are. Look how massive we are. Look at our music. They became proud, not realizing the Most High was pulling the people right from up under, one person at a time, two people at a time. And they looked up, and it was over. But like it says in the book of Revelations, he's given them a chance. He's given them an opportunity. If they're willing to see the truth, to see it. And what I want, AC, I want us to reach out. Ramar, I want you all to reach out. And we're going to invite the pastors on. And any of them who would like to come on, when they ask, well, what can we do? Why black men are leaving the Christian church? Or what can we do to bring them back or to make us more favorable or, you know, to find favor in us opposed to choosing other groups, right? So I want us to get some of these pastors on and have them ask the people the question and have and then the callers respond and say, well, we did see y'all Zoom conference and it piqued our interest to where we did a show about it. And now if you would like to hear why, the platform is open. You can hear the streets. You can hear the brothers and sisters who organically all throughout the earth tell you why they will never step one foot back in the Christian church. And then that pastor would have the power to do what Christ said, leave the 99 and go get the one. If you have the gospel of peace and truth according to Christ, then now you can gain those you've lost. So I'm willing to allow this platform to be the platform that will allow them to reach out. Okay, so AC, let's set that up. Ian, you have anything else to say before I go to the next call?
One more thing. I was
about to say something. I'll bring him in. You good? You good, Ian?
No, I just want to say one more thing. I think I was done with the Christian church once I seen Tyler Perry put hands on T.D. Jakes.
Oh, when he started shaking with T.D. Jakes, I'm going to pull that video up.
Yeah, that was it.
Hold on. Okay, do me a favor. Real quick. Elder Gabar.
Yes, sir.
I need you to pull your camera back up. This thing is going haywire.
Pull my camera back.
Okay, there you go. Oh, I'll pull you up. One moment. Okay. I'm going to place you on hold, young man. And I'm going to pull that video up when T.D. Jakes and what's his name? What's his name again? Tyler Perry was acting out. Oh, I got to pull that up. Oh, I'm glad that brother mentioned that. Hold on, Ian, all right? Hold on. Do me a favor, Elder Gaja. I need you to come out real quick. Just come out of your video if you don't mind. All right, and let me grab.
That's fine, Elder. If people don't see me, they could once they hear me, that'd be fine.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, because something is going on with my Skype. I have no idea, but go ahead. Go ahead, Elder Gabar.
Yeah, you asked a question. I'm sorry, and it left me. I want to know. There was a question that you asked a brother, and a brother, you was referring to him, but I thought you was just throwing a question at the table. And it slipped my mind. What was the question you asked before the brother answered, right before the brother answered, if you don't mind, because it left me. I had a point, but it's...
You mean when I asked what would the pastors would need to do to get brothers back into the church?
Right. There was that, and there was something else before, you know. I guess you can continue. If it comes back to me, I'll come back up, if you don't mind.
Okay. Let me know if you're willing to jump back in, all right? I've been waiting, all right? All right?
No problem.
But while you're doing that, let me show you. Let me give brothers and sisters a visual of what concerned the young man. To the degree where the young man concluded that he would never step foot back into a Christian church again. Let me pull it up here. And
what,
let me get it. Go ahead, Elder Gabar.
Yeah, while you're doing that, let me, since you asked the question, I don't think I answered the question earlier. I don't know if you posed the question to me. I know you got your answer, then Gloria
answered. I didn't pose it to you. Yeah, answer the question. But, video's up. Good. I got you.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, while you would answer those questions, I was like, you know, I think if I would sit down with a pastor and if I'm his advisor in regards to his understanding, the first thing I would tell him is, okay, I would look at his finances first to see whether he could survive this hit. Who supports him? How and why? You know, because some pastor may be solely supported by the church.
Okay.
And the reason why I will first start with his financial scenario. Go ahead, Devin.
No. So in a nutshell, you're saying that you'll make sure that he'll be able to sustain through a transition. We'd have to look at whether or not this will be such a financial hit on him that his transition, he'll be beholden to his church because it's the only thing you have right now. But go on.
So all right. I will first start there to see where who support, you know, how he gets, you know, cause some pastors do have like a daytime job and also has, you know, the weekend church that they oversee, and they may get a stipend from the church.
Yeah.
It may be a thing that it's not their church they're pastoring, or it's their church and they're pastoring. So I will first deal with that, because them coming up with this truth is going to be such a financial hit to them, right? They're going to lose a large portion of the church members, because if you are teaching a certain doctrine or a certain spirit, which we right now are discussing, and even the pastors are discussing, about, you know, lack of masculinity in the church, lack of direction and movement and stagnation. You know, all these things that they're realizing themselves, we've been realizing for many years, right? And that's why we left.
Okay.
So many people that are there are going to leave him, because it's like, if you are promoting a particular movement, whatever it is, a church, a business, an idea, an actual movement, right?
Yeah.
A nonprofit, whatever it may be. The mission statement says it established the foundation of the church. So our mission statement versus their mission statement is probably two different things.
Yeah.
So therefore, what's going to probably happen is many people that were originally attracted to their mission statement will say, okay, this is not what I signed up for. So they should be ready to lose a lot of membership, because they may have to start from the ground up, because if you set up a church where a certain scenario, like for instance, the pastor that he got caught up with, his gay lover, I forgot the guy's name.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know that story.
He lost his church. He was like a major guy in the individual church, and now he reopened a new church where allowing gay people in. Now, he lost all his old members, because a lot of those old members did not agree with homosexuality according to the scriptures. So he will have to get a whole new batch of people that do believe, or you could convince, that homosexuality is allowed in the scriptures. So I think a lot of it, he has to be prepared, the pastor who I will be advising, to financially be ready for at least 2 to 3 years to support himself, because he's not going to be able to get those numbers until he rebuilds that new church with that new doctrine, with that new mission statement. So that was the first thing I was trying to do, to get ready for that storm, because he's going to lose a lot of members, and I deal with that.
Hey, Gabar, you know what? That's why I say there's many members to a body. You better than me, but there's no wrong way, because maybe working with somebody like that would be what he needs, and there's no one fix. But for me, I'm gonna be like, you know what I mean? In order for you to save your life, you have to lose it.
Yeah.
So it's gonna come down to stepping out on faith and having the Most High build you from the ground up. If you built your house on sand, I can't be the one to recalibrate. You know, this
in the middle of it, yeah.
Oh no, hey, what did we start with? So
right,
it's like,
well, we started with nothing, so therefore we had nothing to lose.
Oh yeah, well, what I'm saying is we did have something though.
You did.
Well,
you're right.
I need you to think about it.
Yeah.
Think about the security, knowing that, okay, if I jump out here all the way, the corporate world ain't going to have me. There's no me going back to the corporate world and being accepted. Right?
That's what you're
saying. Do you understand? So, and not only that, leaving houses, leaving family, leaving everything to step out on total faith. So I would discuss that with the person, but I would also say you're not going to be able to exercise what it is to believe walking in this faith with us unless you jump all the way in.
I got you.
Strictly with the knowledge that the Most High will catch you.
So you're saying, because you cut from a different cloth, Elder. I think.
Probably. I don't know.
In the sense of this, it's like, okay, you and maybe your inner circle that left with you forsook all, like literally.
Yeah, but Gabar, you have to realize.
Not everybody could do that.
Yeah, but it didn't, believe it or not, Gabar, it didn't start with us just going. There was a step out in faith that led us to the confidence to do
right.
that.
Okay.
See, and I would never rob a man of that experience where you know your chance in losing everything, not realizing how it's going to shake out. I will not rob a man of that experience. If I cushion him or if I try to redirect him without him going through that first stage, I'll rob him of seeing the Most High in his transition. Right.
Okay. So you're saying that if I was the best way to advise him is not necessarily count your costs or count your dollars and your cents and
exactly.
who's paying you and why. Be willing to lose all of that and start from the ground up.
Elder, just like the rich man, where Christ said, sell all you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me.
Got you.
Right? Now, it tell you in the homily that it doesn't matter what the guy would have gave up. Christ had 100-fold waiting for him in the faith if he would have continued in the faith. Because what you get in the faith of Christ in stepping out is an education, a spiritual education that you cannot get by calculating this yourself. There's something that kicks in that the flesh cannot teach, that experience cannot teach. It's the heavens. The heavens kick you because you'll forsook the world. So by default, the heavens must compensate. And I wouldn't rob any. Man, we're dropping some stuff tonight. This is some of the stuff that for our man classes that I was going to talk about on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess everyone needs to hear it, that faith is something that cannot be taught. It's an action that opens your eye to an entirely different experience. There's realms within the earth that we have access to based on action.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't rob a pastor or another man who's transitioning from that experience to see what faith is. The unseen faith where the heavens must compensate. Whole another level. But go ahead, God.
I was just thinking that scripture came to my mind as well when you were when Elder Gabar was speaking the same thing, you know, listen to rich man and Christ. But check this out, elders.
Yes.
We have a and no disrespect to any Israelite groups out there or any other Israelites out there, no disrespect.
Yes.
But we have a zero tolerance for certain things as it relates to the doctrine of Christ. Yo.
Yeah. True.
If we are going to build, right, it must be built on the foundations of the doctrine of Christ. It cannot be, ushered in, it cannot be added onto. It has to be built from that. So until these any Christian pastor out there listening to what I'm saying,
yeah,
you have to build on that. You can't just say, all right, then let me try and have a transition and slowly come over and integrate, which is what like you said, Elder, the old school Israelites did that because one point in time, they never believed in Christ. They integrated Christ, still keeping the old wine. So a Christian pastor would have to say, yo, listen, we are going to have to empty the cups and we are going to have to destroy what we need to destroy and build back on the foundations of Christ. It won't work no other way. No, there's no level of diplomacy. There's no level of intellect. It has to be done only one way. Because like I'm saying, we have a zero tolerance. Israelites who disregard the doctrine of Christ, who disregard water baptism. So I'm not going to compromise not with a Christian pastor. No way, no time. No, listen. No, listen, check it out. With love.
See, but let me tell you, I hear what Elder Gabar is saying too, because what happens is you have to weigh what someone is dealing with. Like there's no cookie cutter one size fit all. But the fact, I'm going to show you the love in all of it. The fact that he's even considering how to transition a pastor, it's monument. It's charity. So I'm listening to it all, but go ahead.
Yeah, for me it's still love, but it has to be it would have to come it would have to come across that. Listen, sister, there's no other way to do this. Okay, like you can't buy it, you can't nothing. This is the only way you can go. Only way we have to tear down everything that you thought that you believed in. Hebrews 5 and 12 says, for when the time you are to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which becomes the first principle of the oracles of the Most High. You understand? I become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Oh. So you have to break it right back down. And the Christian church would have to go back to that. You're gonna have to understand that, listen, you were lied to. They lied to us all. Okay? Revelation 9 tells us that the devil deceived us all. Revelation 12 and 9, excuse me, that the serpent deceived everybody. So we have been deceived. And we have come to that realization that, you know something? I was lied to. You with me?
Yeah.
I was lied to. And the Roman Catholic Church is the whore. We have to understand that the doctrine is Jesuit. Everything about it is off. And until...
Hold up. Everybody's saying, I got a few calls. I got to let them in. I'm sorry. I apologize because sometimes we ramble. We get a chance to talk amongst ourselves. I'm sorry, elders. But these were some good points. Some jewels was dropped. But let me get these people waiting on. Let me get them on a call, if y'all don't mind. But those were some good points, though. Great points. Victoria. Let's go through. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Let's go. That's Aaron.
Yeah,
Victoria,
yeah, yeah.
I got you. Victoria, you
how
next.
You doing?
Go on.
Shalom, elders. How y'all doing?
I'm doing. Two minutes. Shoot. Let's go.
All right. So if a pastor was to ask me, you know, would I come back to the church, I would tell them first they would have to get with the elders of the GLCC, learn under them, just like what you guys were just breaking down. They would have to care everything that they learned under you guys, and once they do that, I know they'll start having church service on the Sabbath, and they'll start teaching the law, and that's how I might start fellowshipping back with the church again. It has to be under the GLCC. If they come with another doctrine, then, you know, my dad's a pastor, you know, he won't see me again. So they have to learn under you guys because you guys have the true doctrine. One thing I wanted to ask too, I know a little while ago you had a white pastor from Beaufort, South Carolina on, and
yeah.
I remember you guys saying you reached out to all the black pastors and nobody took you up on the offer except for that white pastor. I guarantee right now, because it's desperation amongst the pastors. If you guys do that again, you might get about one or two to say, you know what, everything we're doing now is not working, so why not? And I guarantee
you
you'll get about one or two pastors. And I, Elder, I would love for you, especially South Carolina, low country South Carolina, where the pastors are prideful as I don't know what, I would love for you to try to get with at least one or two of them down there and just talk with them, because they see it right now. My dad's a pastor, and he's lost two kids to the truth, and the other two kids, they might be well on their way.
Your father is a pastor, and both of his children are, what, a part of the Gathered of Christ Church now?
Yes, sir. Me and my sister. And our other two sisters.
Oh, my.
You know,
and how old are you? Because they're listening. How old are you?
I'm 39. And my other sister, the sister that's in the truth, she's 30. She's going to get me. I think she's 32. I think she's 32.
Hey,
32 or 33. But,
I'm going to tell you. Hey, your father might come around. I'm telling you.
He's a real chill guy too, and the Most High, you know, a higher man, he's working, because I've been thinking about this for the past few weeks now. Like, man, only if I could get my dad to just like talk to one of the elders, you know. And boom, you have this broadcast tonight. So it's just.
I'll tell you what. Aaron. Aaron.
Yeah.
Hold on. Aaron, I know you heard that before.
Yeah, I hear it all the time.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this, we do. Pastor Son, I'm going to call you. I'm going to talk to your father. All right?
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk. Got my word. I'm going to call.
Yes, sir.
All right?
I'll
thank you. Thank you. You know what, Elders? What we have to do? In the midst of Aaron talking, this is what we have to do, especially with the building we have here in PA, Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to move all those chairs and put like a town hall setup in the midst of our church and have a town hall meeting. Pastors on one side and we're on the other side. You're going to have a good faith discussion on why black young men are no longer participating in the Christian church. And it's not going to be us blaming each other. We're going to have the young men in a town hall type deal where the people are talking. Okay? And, you know, we can have montages of our time from the slave ship and how we progressed and became something in this country, became businessmen and all that. All that was spiritually, spiritually organically grew out of a spiritual people straight off the slave ships and progressed and chart that all the way till today. Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, all the, no matter who they were. And then at the end of it, Farrakhan, and then you see Israelites. And we're going to just have a round table discussion. What would unify our people and put us on code out of everything we've experienced in America if it's not the Israelites? Israelites has a law. According to the same Bible we all believe, Israelites believe in Christ. The same Christ that we all are here claiming died for our sins. Okay? We all believe in the Bible. And have a round table discussion. Man, let me tell you, when Aaron, and he can invite his father, Aaron and his children, and guess what? It won't be blaming, debating, and all that. A real good faith conversation on how this town hall meeting could now... And the solutions from this meeting is not just talk. From this meeting, we will now begin to take these solutions into the community, which means If I got a church over here, if I got a church in this community, I'm responsible for the optics and how that whole community is being viewed, being its spiritual pillar, right? So if we can have a good faith conversation, a town hall meeting where we're not going at each other just trying to better one another on scripture. A good faith conversation is the fact that we have a code according to God's law and our people are lawless. So the Israelites are needed to actually bring some structure and law according to a Bible we all claim we believe here. We have the historians there. We have history. We have it all. And, just a whole town hall meeting with the history. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to break this down. And I'm going to do it in a way where, hey, don't worry about it. It's already, my wheels are turning, but we already have the place to do it. We have the space to do it. And we'll just invite brothers in. It'll be a nice night, a nice day. We'll have dinner later. And you know what? We may not all agree the same night. It may not be a thing where everyone agrees that night, but we'll get the wheel turning. We'll begin the discussion that would lead to saving our people if that's the true objective.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it?
Yeah, Elder, and I think if you do this now in particular,
yeah,
because everything is timing. I think that the Guiding Christ Church is a church that is large enough, prestige enough. We set our mark in our society to the point that if we do call,
yeah,
what the world consider mega church, we are a mega church. We are now.
But I don't know about that. It says a lot of members. I mean, I guess if you put them all in one
together.
We're numbers. That rubs me the wrong way, that mega thing, but go on.
Right. It's probably the wrong choice of words, but it's a thing that we are of the size now that people have to respect the size and say, okay, they're doing something right, right?
Yeah.
In the short time of our existence, and then also the directory is so, it's been so big that if we were a business, other business we'll be looking at our formula to see the secret of our success. If that makes sense, it's like if other people were saying, okay, you've been around for 12 years and look at the size of your church and you are now rivaling churches that's been established much longer.
Yeah, for decades.
Decades. And you now are hitting those numbers now. And you have surpassed some churches that have been longer than even you. Never hit this. Right. So if we would have been a little church in some corner somewhere, if we would have made that what you made today or what the statement that you made today, well, probably would have been premature. I think now, is a time that you can make that statement and invite people. We have enough people and resources to say, okay, we can invite people. We could do something nice and classy. We have proven to do that. That it. 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, that thing that you started, that institution of connecting different churches.
Yeah.
And having a conversation and you being the face of that, that's a powerful statement, Elder.
Well, hey.
You understand what I'm saying? It'll become a thing that now you are in the seat of this institution that now has all kinds of prestige and power and control, politically and otherwise. I don't know.
I don't know about that. Believe it or not, that just popped in my mind in the midst of that young man saying something. And see, this is how the Holy Spirit have always been operating with this church. Like, there's nothing calculating. When he started talking and told me about his father, I'm like, you know what? And especially after hearing the Zoom thing, this would be perfect to have a town hall meeting where it's not about us trying to one-up each other on precepts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? The concerns will be strictly, how do we help our people? How do we have a unified code according to a Bible we both believe in? I say we do it as Israelites because we are the Israelites. And the history bears out the truth is here, and our people are suffering in the same communities that we're claiming we're here to save. If it's salvation, we believe in Christ. We believe in the baptism, everything you just ran off, and I'll discuss it and say, listen, let's not even deal in the areas we disagree. Our people are dying. They're suffering. Let's now open up this Bible and come to a consensus on what we can agree to deal with together to help our people. And we can have it live at the church. And guess what? We can stream it here where everyone else can see it. And we'll have a good faith discussion. If it's really about saving the young black men who no longer would like to step foot into a black church. If it's about our people and saving our people, everyone should come to this discussion. We'll have choice people. It'll be probably too many. We have to choose who to come in and whatever the case is, but we'll scale it down, come up with a plan, and we'll have a good faith conversation. I think it's, like I said, Elder Gabbar, I didn't even think about what can come of it and what this might mean. Y'all think on all those, you know what I mean? I'm just here like, listen, time is running out. Let's get to our people. But mm-hmm. I can see it. And I know it would be phenomenal, but I digress. A few more calls, because the conversation has to be had. It can't be a conversation where every time Israelites and Christians are together, it's about debating what scripture's right and what type, you know, and while our people are dying and suffering in, you know, in our communities.
Yeah.
All right. I see you, Sunshine. I see you. I know you got your thing together. I'm going to call you in a moment. But Zedekiah, I've been waiting just as long as you, so I'm going to get Zedekiah in. And then we're going to deal with the crescendo with Sunshine. All right, Zedekiah.
Shalom, Elders. It's a pleasure being on this call. I'll be really quickly, but I just wanted to expound on everything that you guys were talking about before. Because a lot of these churches are actually in our neighborhoods, these ghettos, and the pastors are reaching to those who are crying out for help. And the thing that they don't really understand that I feel like our church is doing is that when we're reaching for help, we actually want something to change for, something worthwhile to change for. And when we learn that if we follow the commandments, that God will, you know, hedge us and bless us, then that's something worth changing for, rather than telling us that we don't have to keep the laws, we just have to believe. And you know, when we're, you know, pushing drugs or murdering and stealing, we think that our life is changed just because we believe, and there's no transaction being done there. So it leaves us drained and feeling worse off than before, because now we have to go off a conscience or for something that we have to do in order to survive, instead of changing ourselves and expecting a better outcome, because the Most High is actually working with us since we're keeping the commandments.
Yeah. Brother, great point. Place you on hold. Eloquent. We're going to make sure we cut that out so we'll allow them to hear that also. Thank you. Before I end this with I'm going to, Sunshine, you only get 2 minutes now. I'm sorry. I got you. So take that deep breath and let it roll out. But here's the video that agitated the brother who said that, you know, it was a T.D. Jakes thing that him and Tyler Perry that really drove a wedge between him and the black church. Fair use. Let's get straight to it. Look at him acting. idea. Now let's see if he's going to tell us about the blood of Jesus. That's the blood of Jesus, folks. Now, how can he say that in the same breath with the blood of Jesus? Medea, no, we're not going there. He's pushing that what? He's pushing that what? He's pushing what? He's pushing the baby out. He's pushing the baby out. Okay. All right. Let's get to. Hey. Okay. Hey. We should have just when they that round table discussion. I mean that Zoom discussion. They should have just played the video. That in of itself would tell you why most men, not just black men, are leaving the churches altogether. All right, Sunshine. Ready? Grace. All right, let's go.
Okay. Oh, Shalawan, Elder,
Shalawan. You just took up 15 seconds already. 2 minutes. Come on, let's go.
Okay, elders, this conversation, wow, this is amazing. The conversation that they had, the pastors, I came across kind of a wishy-washy in terms of the solution, or it left more so the bureaucratic impression whether or not this was planned. So it's like everybody goes home, takes their coat off, and we still beg the question, what will change? And initially they spoke on getting the black man back to church, but then when it went into the movements and lumping everything together, the LGBT, Black Lives, Israelites, all together, and they centered on Israelites with subtle attacks, like you were mentioning, claiming that all or more of the Israelites are the same or likely the same. And so these, they're implying, are the thieves and robbers of the black men who would stand up in the Christian church, yet not once did they consider moving to self-examination, like Elder Lawyer was saying, on what the church is doing to push the men out. And what is now the structure of the church, the black church, is no longer what once was, because the women and the happy community and the liberalism of all kinds have just run amok. And another thing is that the pastors are conflating and making everything the same, their doctrine and the word of God. But the doctrine that does not align with the word of God cannot be defended. If it is wrong, it can't be made right, because we cannot like call evil good and it be accepted, and the temples will tumble down, like Elder Gosha was mentioning another caller too. And they're not linking the loss of black men and their congregation and incrementally everyone in general to the prophecy unfolding, because if the link was made, it would mean that the pastors have no idea what's happening and according to the prophecy, and so the whole Christian church backbone is now built on, you know, on something that's not true. So the deeper admission then is a dagger that hits the pride of men's hearts. If at time, you know, that we need to go back and learn again if we were teachers. And so this idea would take a prestigious man, a Christian of the Christian church, humbling himself, like you were saying, as an innocent babe weaned from the milk, and to be willing to understand and realize that his doctrine is wrong or incomplete, like Elder Gosher was mentioning, like Nicodemus being willing to learn the truth again. But it would also reveal that certain pastors fall into the category of leaders that they fall into, either prophets or the blind. So some pastors will genuinely desire to uplift the black man and thereby the congregation on a whole, while the others will wallow into desperation or continue with the fiasco and will engage in debate and opposition. So infighting becomes an issue to be examined, and the core that the truth is what will set us free is set aside. And the Most High said he would awaken and put the sinews upon our bones in time, and the black man leaving the church is posed as the Christian church dilemma, but the real dilemma is truth. Truth dilemma is the prophecy that that we're avoiding, and the two reductions that are seen here is that the Israelites are attracting black men because of the masculinity. Though this is top tier and beautiful, the main attraction is knowing who you are, like you mentioned, and that the love of Christ. And the second is that underlying motivation, like Elder Gabar brought up at the very end, where they were talking about the forums. These forums, they're reflecting on their finances, and the reasons why black men are not attending affect their bottom line, and also how they will, like you mentioned, sustain or survive. So it's clear that the word cuts like a two-edged sword, and no man can stand against Christ's doctrine, and they can't rightly hold up their candles or try to defend themselves. Okay. So whoever's operating as gatekeepers and hypocrites or liars will wail against the truth, and the truth found in this church, elders, it's something that's undeniable. And unless they're repentant, in time and chance, and humble, and not blind followers of strong delusions, they'll fall into a ditch. And like Elder Gabar said to you, as you mentioned, that this is the truth, Elder. I know with every fiber of my being that this is the truth, and I'm
there
so grateful. To the Most High. I'll praise the Most High. I'll praise His glory.
There it is. One day we will meet.
Oh, Shalawam.
Oh, Shalawam. There you go. I bet she wake up happy. But that's what it's about. It's about she wake up and go to sleep. I mean, it's nothing like positive energy. I'll tell you that. Praise the Most High. And I'm glad this church is doing that for you, sister. I'm glad. Oh, yeah. So as you can see, it's not just black men. It's all people, all races coming to the knowledge of the truth. And hopefully hopefully one day the Most High will open up the eyes. But I would like to say thanks to the elders for being guests tonight. I'd like to thank you all. I'm going to call you all up later, all the guests who've called in. We thank you, elders. Shalom. I thank you. All your points was poignant. And I believe tonight was a breakthrough, because it gave me an idea that we can actually bring into fruition. So thank you there.